Blog Talk Radio.
Reason, so sorry we're a few minutes late, but we're here now.
I'm so happy you're here.
I know. Looks like we've got a caller on 937. I wonder if that's one of our guests.
It probably is.
Let's bring him on.
Bring on 937.
Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Sunny. How's it going?
Hi, Sunny. Sorry about the delay. How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Good, good. So, Sunny, meet Austin Thomas.
Hey, Sunny, what's going on?
Not too much. Also, you're broadcasting live in the Dayton area on 105.5 FM, so we're going to have a really good exchange here.
Oh, awesome. Man, we made the FM airwaves. I'm very proud of you, Lisa.
Yay! Thanks, Sunny.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Hey, we appreciate it. So what's going on with you? What's going on? You got so many things going on. I was talking about you founded the Tea Party there in Ohio, huh?
Well, in Springboro, I started the Springboro Tea Party. I had went to the Cincinnati Tea Party meeting back in March of 2009, and it inspired me to want to do something a little bit more local in my area. So, because I know there's some interesting situations going on within our community. Springboro itself is a what you call a fourth-tier suburb of the Dayton area. It's a very good mix of rural and urban at the same time. It's also a mix of Republican, Democrat, and some independent thinkers as me, obviously. And just started going in and started looking at some of the issues because they had recently won in 2009, I think it was. It was the number 47th or 41st best city to live in America. And interesting enough, a lot of the comments that I saw in a news story was like, egads, how could that be? Because of the fact that taxes are so freaking high and everything else. Well, a good portion, majority of the mayor and council members are Democrats. And the Republicans that are on the thing either can't show party favor because they're the city manager or they don't act like Republicans in any way, shape, or form. So that being said, I started looking at some of the policies and going to some of the meetings and stuff and started questioning things that are going on. I've actually been scouring the city charter lately to see how much Agenda 21 has been rifled through the charter itself, so that way I have something more target-specific to go after and really start raising hell about.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I love peeps that are lashing out against Agenda 21.
Agenda 21. That means that Sunny is wide awake.
Well, not only that, but most people are going to be bamboozled by that Glenn Beck book, and I recommend anybody listening to this broadcast, whether it's live or in a future setting, do not waste your time getting that book. It's propaganda for what it is. He's just trying to – he's an Alex Jones wannabe, and he's a very poor imitation of him as well. So, as a matter of fact, I had a gentleman call me. He was 70-some-odd years old here in the Kettering area. He saw Camp FEMA on the cable access channel that I put a lot of programming on. And
cool.
He saw especially the tail end segment where Jones is exposing Glenn Beck for the fraud that he is. And he said, you know, I've been listening to Glenn Beck for a long time. And he said, I saw the Camp FEMA movie, which absolutely horrified me and awakened me at the same time. He said, unfortunately, I'm pretty old, so I can't do much. I said, yes, sir, you can. I said, you could talk to your neighbors. That's the beginning. But he said, I definitely won't be listening to Glenn Beck anymore because I said, I think the guy's a complete phony. I said, well, you're definitely wide awake now. That's the first step.
Right, exactly. And speaking of Camp FEMA, that is a Debbie and William Lewis film, Lisa. And we actually
right,
had
Camp
Debbie
FEMA,
Lewis
right.
On.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, we had
funny?
Debbie Lewis. Yeah, we had Debbie
oh,
Lewis
yeah, I thought
on
it first came
day.
Out. I thought it first See? Came out. I was absolutely horrified. Well, I wouldn't say horrified, but it was probably the movie that woke me up the most probably since Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism. The only composition part of the film that I didn't like was the fact that they had a tendency to use the same kind of escalating urgency music a lot throughout the film, so it kind of
right,
minimized
the
impact. Yeah, but otherwise, the content of the film was dead on. I thought they had a good selection of commentators and activists on there from all different parts of the country, so it was very well researched and well written and laid out. And usually, typically, from what I've seen from people, if you show them Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theories episode of The Police State, and then show them maybe show Alex Jones's Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, they get it. They're totally aghast their government would do that to them. But I tell you what, if you haven't seen the new Red Dawn movie, rent it. It's worth the $1.29 from Redbox. The beginning first. Probably 25 minutes of the film to me is pretty much the end all be all. They show how the EMP basically took out the whole West Coast and basically was able to start having troop invasions such as that. Coincidentally, the spearhead was North Koreans. So I think we're starting to see another coalition of Pacific Rim countries and stuff that may be collaborating together because of the fact that Obama said in 2008 in his campaign speech that he was not going to weaponize space, i.e., I'm going to take down SDI, which is the very creme de la creme of Reagan's entire foreign policy plot to bring down the Soviet Union. So if they know we have no missile defense shield, we're wide open to an attack. And if you have an EMP, boy, it's all going to be ground-to-ground warfare.
Let me play the devil's advocate.
Yeah, I kind of have a theory about the EMP being how they did it as well because you know, I was looking at where all the nuclear facilities in America are. Do you know they're all laid out where the Agenda 21, where they want people to go?
Exactly.
I thought that was interesting. So, yeah, get everybody living in these population-dense areas where all the nuclear facilities are. Discharge an EMP within a week or two. All those reactors will overheat. Bam, 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 done.
Right. What else you saw? Remember at the end of Escape from L.A.? What was the thing that Snake Plissken did? He essentially hit a button, and he basically used an EMP to knock us back about 120 years.
Right.
So I mean, they're already conditioning you through movies, which they've been doing that for decades. Ideas processed through. So that's why when 9/11 happened, everyone's like, "Oh, it's like watching a disaster film or a." An alien flick, yeah, no doubt.
Right. Well, the thing with the EMP, I did a show on that actually on EMP weapon technology. That is some scary stuff. All it needs is one strategically placed nuclear bomb in the middle of the United States. One great big pulse, it'll knock out everything that's electronic. I call it Insta Amish.
Yes. It's also a pre-Jericho situation. The CBS TV series that was on for two seasons. I recommend people rent that or own it, actually, and watch it. Matter of fact, when season two was in question, the fan base was so raising the hell about it that CBS had to finish the second season. And it turns out that when you analyze the whole thing, it was a whole CIA op. They were basically a controlled guinea pig town. But it's interesting enough is if you're in a small town in a rural setting such as that, you see quickly how you have to do a basic military situation. First thing you need to do is you get a solid form of government. You start assessing all your resources that you have. In that particular case, what crops are people growing? Can you get any of the gas out of the gas pumps? Consider most gas stations are all electronic pumps. you're kind of screwed unless you can access the tanks. There are very few manual gas pumps left in the United States even operating. So those are situations there. Then you got to start quarantining people, making sure that you've got suitable amounts of ammunition, doing roadblocks on particular roads that might have direct access, or, you know, essentially you got to set up a 300 Spartan situation where you got to funnel everything in to one point where you can control it. So, yeah, I think that's a very important show to watch.
Jericho's Walls or Jericho's Wall or something.
No, it was just called Jericho. It was a town that's in the middle of Kansas. They're in the middle of a heated contested mayoral race. And then everybody's having their normal lives is going on and such as that. And all of a sudden the power goes out. And then they hear a large explosion. And they look and they see a mushroom cloud approximately where Denver would be. So it automatically set off a holy shit situation where you're just kind of like, what do I do here? And then that's when you realize you instantly look towards your government and your law enforcement to say, okay, you got to maintain order. What are you going to do?
What city was that again?
I think it was supposed to be in Jericho, Kansas.
No, but the explosion came. Denver, you said?
Yeah, if I remember watching the show, it was approximately where Denver would be.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's
so you can understand the
Central.
Situation. Yeah, you can understand the situation on how that would affect a small town such as that. What I worry about is if you live in any of the major cities, you're going to have some serious calamity going on. And a really good film to watch on that, I saw it on National Inflation Association, I think inflation.us, is called End of Liberty. It's basically about a complete social collapse in the United States after the economy crashes. And that is a very, very good video to watch. I actually put that on cable access as well. So I put a lot of content on cable access to wake people up. And on average, I get maybe four or five people who maybe call in a month period to say, hey, thanks, great for the content, whatever. I mean, it could be any particular thing. It could be an Alex Jones film. It could be something about the Frankfurt School. It could be any particular thing that catches someone's attention, and then they get educated on the topic, and then they start asking questions. I mean, that's what Thomas Jefferson always said. An enlightened populace will always make the right decisions. So it's the only way you can get some true information off the idiot box.
Right. What's the name of your network? What's the name of your network again? I want you to plug it.
Which the network you're talking about?
Well, whatever ones you want. It sounds like you have a few.
I got all sorts of stuff going on. My personal website is sunnythomas.com. The Springboro Tea Party website is at springboroteaparty.com or .org. Another group I'm in is I'm also the Ohio director for the Council of Conservative Citizens. That website is cofccohio.org. And also, I also do, shoot live bands and put them on cable access as well and do reviews on thehmd.com. So that's thehmd.com for the HMD Music Resource Guide. All of these pages can be found on Facebook as well.
Excellent.
And the respective
Excellent.
Twitter handles, too.
Ah, yeah. You're twitting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a mass tweeter, all right. Depending on the topic.
I've never done that yet.
Really?
No.
I have friends I come across all the time who haven't figured out how to link their Twitter to their Facebook, especially if they're running a page. And even one of the bands I work with, Brothers in Arms band, I told them, I was like, man, you got to hook that Twitter up to your Facebook. I mean, first of all, if you have a gig or just a gig gets canceled, you know, people can follow your tweets and instantly know, hey, don't bother coming out tonight because we got canceled or the weather's bad. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
Things of that particular nature. Plus, you know, like during debates and stuff, I oftentimes opine as well as forward tweets from other commentators that I trust and or something that I'll totally lash out at because I know they're such neocons or so, you know, full of crap. You're just kind of like, hello. Can you get any more stupid?
Nice.
Go ahead.
So, Lisa, we got to start tweeting.
I guess we do. I mean, we're on Facebook and we're on World Truth, but we have not tweeted as of yet. So maybe that's what we need to do next.
You definitely want to tweet because a lot of people will forward your tweets. And not to mention, too, that unlike the old days of MySpace where you get all a bunch of people following you for – that's how Tila Tequila actually got popular, is because she had all these – God knows how many people are friends of hers on MySpace. MySpace even a word anymore? It's so compromised.
Does that exist?
But here's the interesting thing about that, okay? Guys from MySpace actually came from Friendster, if I remember correctly. One of the guys who does music promoting in the Monument Valley area, Mike Durian, he does Punk Night. And what he does is up in Troy, Ohio, he does a lot of punk shows. And, there's a lot of good punk. Plus, he occasionally gets some national acts that come in, too. Not to mention some bands that he came across, that I became fans with, that were either from the East Coast or whatever. Like Girlish Figure, for example, they were a great pop-punk trio, all female, from originally from Baltimore. Great band. Anyways, they came to Troy for a show, and then I had them come to Wright State University to do a radio interview. And I remember one of the things that Squeaky had said in that interview, she said something like, you know, everything's on MySpace anymore. I said, my God, you'd be buying everything off MySpace, like MySpace.com/CoverGirl or something, and get all your lip gloss off of that damn thing or whatever. But what she realized is that she's actually getting to a point where she was actually preluding to what's actually happening. Almost everything is done online. I mean, really, do you arguably buy anything off of 1-800 numbers much anymore unless it's on TV? I mean, it's become such an internet society anymore, which scares me, because if the UN gets control of the internet, we're screwed, because of the fact that they will not only start taxing and regulating everything, but they will start doing internet too, like they do in China, where they censor majority of the content, and then you're left with basically no different than the alphabet soup of news networks that you watched before. So ABC, Fox News, spelled F-A-U-X, obviously. But, I mean, it's just like you're kind of screwed, because the information you get, if there's any real gems in it, you have to watch the whole gaggle of it just to even piece together some bits and parts that might actually have some truth. I mean, I think Alex Jones said it best about going back. He's orange juice, but you put a teaspoon of cyanide in it, and that's what you're drinking. So, I mean, I think that's pretty much dead on.
Well, yeah. I love Alex Jones, and he had a lot to do with me waking up, but I have some issues with him, too.
He's not perfect, but he's not Squeaky Clean,
you know, by any means either. But the point is at least we've got people out there trying to wake people up. And sometimes you got to take a little COINTEL with your medicine, because that's just the way the world is.
Right, right. Speaking of COINTEL, if you watch the Camp FEMA video, it does go in extensive detail about how they go after activists. We thought this thing was done in 1971. That just basically stuck it back underneath the carpet where it belonged. But typically, I've seen various activists. Some bigger names, too, such as Luke Radowski and some of these other guys who had actually – they've gotten big enough that if they were to go after them too much, it would be somewhat obvious. But some of the up-and-coming ones, I can tell you from personal experience that if you were a rising bud real fast and they have a way to try to put you down, whether it's a gaffe or a comment that you make in the wrong context, they would do everything they can to slam you down and dig you back into that hole that you came out of. I mean, in other words, the squeaky wheel gets grease and they're hosing your ass.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. There's a lot of paid letterbox shills out there that are rolling the game as we speak.
Mm-hmm. I tell you an interesting book you might want to look up that I read. It's about Richard Nixon. Unfortunately, where I acquired this book, half the book was missing, but the second half was still intact, which picks up after he lost to Kennedy and goes on. It's called The Arrogance of Power, I believe. And it's really an in-depth, over a 10-year researched book about how corrupt he was, and the different tactics that he did at the time were very innovative, which are now are considered common procedure with presidents such as Bill Clinton. You saw how the tactics they used to go after other politicos, things of that nature. And it was interesting because after he lost to Kennedy, he ran for governor of California in 62. He lost to that. So what he did was, smartly, and I recommend this for other activists, if you fall on the ropes, get back up. Because the fact that Nixon proved that you can get to the top. because what he did was, as a former co-head of state, he used that status to keep in touch with all the heads of states of other countries. And, of course, a lot of them are like, who are you? You're a has-been. We don't want to talk to you. But he was relentless about it. So by the time 68 come by, he became a foreign policy expert, if you want to call him that. But arguably he was. So who was he up against? Well, gee, Bobby Kennedy just got taken out. Johnson wasn't running again. Who's the Democrats' nominee? Hubert Humphrey? Oh, my God, dude. You couldn't have a chance against Richard Nixon. You can see why in 68, why Nixon won is such a large landslide. So
theories on elections, too. They're all rigged.
Oh, of course, we use on Bohemian Grove, you know. I mean, come on now. Now, the only one we haven't seen in Bohemian Grove is Mitt Romney. I don't think I've seen any stuff about Mitt Romney being in Bohemian Grove. And if it was, it was when he was younger. But during the last two races.
I thought Mittens the Mitster had ties to Skull and Bones.
Not directly. He didn't go to Yale. That's Kerry and Bush.
He had ties, too.
Sure.
You know, they got us coming and going, and these people that get the nod, that get the tap on the shoulder and are pushed to the front, they're the ones that are going to win.
Right. Well, I can tell you this, though. John Birch Society put out a video called The Real Newt Gingrich, and it was about a 35-minute video, I think, exposing him for the neocon globalist that he is.
That he is.
Oh, yeah. And actually, it was very well done. I aired it several times during the debates and the elections up to the primary, so until he dropped out. But I met John McManus about a year and a half ago in Columbus, and I told him, I said, you know, I really wish, sir, that you would do a video of Mitt Romney, because I said, I'm going to see him as the main guy that's probably going to end up screwing Ron Paul, and I was correct. But I was really hoping that John Birch Society will put out a real telltale video about Mittens and whatever else he's been doing. And that way it helps expose him a little bit more, because it's obvious he didn't want it. They just put him in there to keep Ron Paul out. I mean, Ben Swan in Cincinnati did an excellent broadcast covering the whole shebang about how they screwed the GOP and so that we will never have a Ron Paul rise and never have a Ronald Reagan make it. So it's just like, dude, by legitimacy, if I was Barack Obama debating, I would say, Mr. Romney, I don't know why I'm even debating you, because by your own convention standards, you've been fraudulently nominated as well as Paul Ryan, and I don't know why you're even here. I should have a landslide thing, just the simple fact you guys are so damn corrupt, and you got caught.
Wait! I'm the Kenyan-born Obama, drone-killing Nobel Peace Prize winner. But what are you doing here?
Right. Well, another thing is too that Joe Gilbert. I forget the name off the top of my head, but he did that documentary on Obama called "Dreams from My Real Father." That was very powerful. I aired that at least two times before the election. And I know several friends of mine had gotten copies of that in the mail, and I told them, please take the time to watch it and pass it along. But it's a very, very realistic scenario, probably 90% accurate and correct, that Barack Obama's real father is Frank Marshall Davis, and who's the communist leader and reporter that was based in Hawaii. And he had all the ties to his mother and his father and everything else, or his grandfather and everything else, because his dad was a CIA spook. And so his grandmother also worked for some of the banksters there in Indonesia. So when you start connecting all the dots, you really start seeing what the hell is going on. Now, Bill Whittles covers some of this on some of his videos, but he hasn't really gotten into real detail about Obama's true background. I mean, the simple fact that guy hasn't released his college transcripts, if he had any, and he's got no classmates that even remember who the hell he is. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, if I ran for office and none of my classmates was like, yeah, cool, man, I went to school with them, I hung out with them, da-da-da, whether it be good or bad, I'd be like, man, this guy's really mysterious, man. I think he's a shyster, man. You know, what the hell is going on with this guy?
Yeah. I've heard some people say he was created in a lab tube.
out my glass tube.
You mean
lab.
Like Serpentor? That's the G.I. Joe days.
Probably from Nazi scientists funded by some crazy Zionists.
Well, you remember that a lot of the Nazi scientists that were salvaged by the Allies before the Ruskies could get them came here.
Operation Paperclip.
Exactly.
Yeah, Paperclip. Yeah.
So you start seeing how it all leads up to Operation Megiddo and all this other stuff, as well as the attempted Cuban invasion and all this other jack. Because Kennedy saw what was going on, and he didn't like it. I mean, the fact that he served with dignity, as well as saving his fellow seaman in the PT-109 famous incident, he had a sense of duty.
Right.
He realized he was being turned into a puppet. He didn't like it, and then he started going against it, and they started to go after him. And actually, I thought all of his own film on him was pretty accurate, if you ask me.
Well, and I'm not painting a picture either that Mr. Kennedy was clean as a whistle. I mean,
he had
some skeletons in the closet too, but he saw what was happening. His family is one of the head Illuminati families.
Yeah, right.
Of course.
And actually, that book that's on InfoWars' shop here, Bloodlines of Illuminati, that's by Brett Springmeier. That's actually a great book to start diving into. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
You're
all our favorite guests. We've had him on
a couple times. He's great.
Yeah, that's a great book. I just recently started diving into it. It takes a while to start getting into it and stay disciplined to read it. But when you start really reading it, you know, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, Springmeier Library actually had a copy of None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen. And that was the final book that woke me up. I was actually completely shocked when I read this book. And, of course, it was written during Nixon's second run in 72. And I actually thought it was interesting because on one of the last pages of the book, it says, beware of anyone who uses the word change in their mantras and their rhetoric, because, in fact, it's a buzzword for basically socialism and soft communism. And then what is Obama's whole thing about? Change, you know?
Right.
Well, you know the problem that I have with Obama is people think that he's a Muslim, and he's really not. He's just a little New World Order puppet. He's just – and, you know, everyone is saying, well, yeah, he's a Muslim. Look what he's doing. He's really not. I mean, look at his appointees. Look at his cabinet when he was first elected. It's all Zionists.
Well, yeah. Actually, there is a good chance that he is a Muslim because of the fact that, for one, his stepfather, Satoru, was a Muslim. He was raised in a madrasa. And at the same time, while he was in Indonesia, as an Indonesian citizen, mind you, there's no paperwork to show he's ever repatriated himself as an American when he came back to the States when he was being... basically,
come on, his social security number was from someone from Maryland or Baltimore, I think it was,
Connecticut.
Like 118 years old. Oh, Connecticut, I'm sorry. And he'd have to be like 118 years old.
Right, and guess who some of the main players that come out of Connecticut, if I remember correctly, isn't that where Daddy Bush is from?
Kenny Bunkport?
So you start connecting the dots. But, I mean, not only that, but someone recently had actually scooped in on his wedding ring, and it's actually written in Arab writing, and I forget exactly what it means, but it's plainly obvious. And actually, I've heard this, too, that the name Barak in Turkish actually is one who hides their identity. And I forget which branch of the Muslim faith it is. I don't know if it's Sunni or the other one, but one of them is they will hide themselves from danger so that way they can continue what they're doing, where the other one, I think, is the Shiites. Basically, they fear no one but Allah, and so they don't give a damn what someone else will do to them because of the fact that they've got their everlasting salvation and their 72 virgins and all that other crap. So, but, you know, if you go back and read Malcolm X, because I remember correctly, I think he was a Sunni Muslim, if I remember correctly. Very inspirational figure, actually. He totally got woken up. He started becoming a black nationalist and speaking out. And if you ever watch some of his press clips of some of the stuff he's talking about, he straight up talks about everything. Doesn't censor it. Doesn't politically correct everything like we do today. But there was one statement he said that really got me recently. He said, He says, you don't put a knife in a man's back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches and call it progress. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. So what the hell's going on?
Right. That's an awesome analogy. Man alive, where have you been, Sonny? Man, you're a wealth of knowledge. Did you touch on all our guests? Man, where have you been?
Well, I've been around. I've been trying to hone my skills, too. I'm trying to be fairly well-read and trying to understand what's going on. I mean, a lot of different stuff that I put on the channel, you know, I've watched over and over again and listened to and then verified some of the sources myself. So that way I know there's at least some
validity.
Sincerity to the content and everything else. So that way when I talk about it, I don't come out looking like, you know, looking pretty peachy as opposed to looking like a pilot, too. You know what I'm saying? So, but history, if you read history well, and this is one of the things I've been talking to. I actually work with the school board in Springboro with a couple of the hardcore members in there. And one of the things I've been working with them on is the curriculum. And one of the things I've been trying to push on is and this is actually scary, and you should check to see if this is going on in your states respectively. 7 years ago, the state of Ohio had taken out cursive writing at the second grade level. You're seeing a lot of kids now these days are writing in print. They don't write in cursive. Indiana, 2 years ago, did the same policy. So here's the problem. If you can't read basic script writing, it really eliminates, one, the creativity of someone writing in normal penmanship, which was one thing Ronald Reagan always prided on. He always wrote in long form.
Right.
If you ever read, he's got a couple books about all of his letters and writings and stuff, which is actually worth reading. Plus, handwriting is just as much part of a person as their DNA, because of the fact that handwriting experts can often tell sometimes the mood of the writer just by the angles of the letters, things of that nature. So, you know, you see it in criminal cases all the time, things like that. So if you can't really appreciate Thomas Jefferson's writings if you don't read them in the original handscript, you know what I'm saying? Because you're kind of like, wow, what was he thinking at the time? I mean, he's the one that came out with the first dictograph, where he would write with one quill and the other one was duplicating the same thing on the other pad next to him. So he was the first one that came up with the Xerox machine. I recommend everybody, please, take a time to go to Thomas Jefferson's house there in Charlottesville, Virginia, and go to George Washington's home there in Mount Vernon. You will see two totally different men just by the way they've arranged their house, and you will understand the complexities of the men when you really start to dive into them a little bit more. And recently, John Adams has finally got his call to duty and recognition through not only David McCullough's book on John Adams, but also the HBO miniseries that came out a couple years ago with Paul Giamatti. Excellent. Excellent. I'd recommend everybody please watch that miniseries because it takes up right before the Boston Massacre all the way up until his death. And it's just very well cast, very well written, and it's just kind of like, wow, it will wake you up in different ways. I mean, this is one thing, I got from that video, and I recommend this too. You see a trend going on with everybody sending petitions to the White House, putting forth ideas of secession. If we're going to do that as such.
Oh, that's me. I got a secession page on Facebook. Secession
I like
from
that.
The
Facebook, I like that.
D.C.
We should call it fascist book. You call it fascist
same difference.
Yeah,
I call it.
But there was a very important thing there during the Continental Convention, and it said specifically, and this is why he was so adamant about New York making sure that they joined their call for independence, that they needed all 13 colonies unanimously to declare independence, because if they knew there was a weak link, the empire would expose that and go into it. If we as a nation, under the 9th and 10th Amendments of the Constitution of the United States, as well as clearly stated in the end of the Declaration of Independence, that and reminded to us by Reagan through his inaugural address in 81, that the states created the federal government, not the other way around. The states are not zip codes within the federal government. If all 50 states unite and secede at one, we make the federal government superfluous, we make it illegitimate, and we could overthrow it legally and through quiet means, and then install new re-elections. Just like we're supposed to.
That's the whole point of my page and the whole idea behind it was a unified secession, the ultimate oxymoron, and leave D.C. hanging and on their own little weak little branch and go down. Lynch them, bastards.
The Constitution is only meant, as it said, stated the powers of the federal government is basically supposed to represent us as a nation and to protect our shores with the army that we funded. Not much to do anything else. The states are supposed to be more autonomous in between, and sometimes there's disputes between the states, whether it be through commerce and things like that. That's when the federal government can kind of step in using the Supreme Court. But the problem that
right.
you have is you've got the federal government basically telling the states what to do. You got Obama basically saying, I don't give a damn if you have nullification of Obamacare. We're going to implement it anyway if I have to by force. Really? That is an act of war, dude. I mean, that's no different than Lincoln stating specifically in 1860 that I'm not going to stop slavery where it currently exists, but I'm not going to allow it to expand. Right off the bat, dude, you're infringing on states' rights. So you can understand why South Carolina said, the hell with you, we're out of here. And
right.
so if it were 1860 right now, I would, even though I am northern born and I am a familial family tree of William Tecumseh Sherman, who is a strict unionist, I tell you this right now, I would support South Carolina and all the other 13 states that stood by them and seceded from the Union because they were right in their means to do so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the whole point of, because, you know, people, I got a lot of people when I opened that page, you're saying, well, you can't secede. I said, well, really, a unified secession is the only way to leave D.C. hanging the bag. Because they're their own little sovereign nation anyways. Take a look at it. And the United States has been incorporated since 1871.
Correct. So, I mean, you see a lot of the monetary policies going on. If you really start flying from the Civil War, I mean, Lincoln was printing his own greenbacks. So already he was already starting to jump on that. But I could tell you this. If you want different groups, you might find different liberty groups, Tea Party groups, things of that nature. If you know any up close or just some you want to associate with, usually I tell them to wake them up. Have them watch the American Dream film first. It's entertaining, it's educational, and it's only 30 minutes long, which is a cartoon.
The cartoon?
It explains the Federal Reserve, the Reserve banking system to a T within 30 minutes, because that's usually about the people's saturation point.
It spells out fractional banking, how they create money from debt. I mean, I probably posted that on my Facebook wall 20 times, if not once.
Right,
yes,
and then as a supplemental piece, have them watch America, Freedom to Fascism, and then pretty much, and then maybe go see the Money Masters. By then, they'll probably have it all down. I tell you what, just through Alex Jones in general, I've learned more about economics in this country, in this world, besides reading The Wealth of Nations, which is a classic book from the late 1800s. I've learned more from Lindsey Williams, G. Edward Griffin, and Webster Tarpley. Those are my economics professors right there. I learned more from those three men about basic Austrian theory, as well as Ron Paul, but Austrian theory of money, as opposed to the Keynesian theory that they teach in universities, than you can ever imagine in all the years of high school and college that I've attended, because they teach you the Keynesian theory, which is complete horseshit. So if you go and watch and you go and start reading Thomas Wood's Meltdown book and you understand how he's doing the boom and bust cycles, it really is an enlightened path about how the economic system's working. Then read G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, as well as Nunda Carlton Conspiracy, and you will get the pretty much gist on how this country was enslaved by the almighty fiat dollar and how people think that's money.
It's not. And the other thing that is really pressing and important that I recommend people research is the derivative bubble. This is the big one, folks. This is the one you want to research and know about. When they pop this one, nothing's going to stop the meltdown.
Correct.
Nothing. How familiar are you with derivatives, Sonny?
Oh, well, I've learned a lot about it. I'm not an economics major by any means that you can imagine, but I know enough of the basics that let me put you this way. My mother was in credit card debt the majority of her life, and even though she paid on it and she had a lot of credit cards. And I know at some point, her and my stepdad, I got into arguments over it to the point where, you know, he was thinking about leaving her just because it was becoming an issue. And my dad never really had any credit cards. My father God rest his soul, he never really had any major credit card debt or anything of that nature. He was more of a cash on hand type of guy. And even though he wasn't around much, I've learned a lot from him. And I've learned the lesson that if I can't pay with it with cash, check, or by debit card, and I'm not saving up for it, I can't afford it and I don't need it. If it's something that I want, I'll save up for it. I don't care if it's a trip to another state, buying a used car that I've got my eye on, or even just going out and buying a kick-ass CD like from, Wasp or something, If I want to buy that CD, I'm going to save a few bucks each week to go get it because of the fact that I want it. Nobody's going to stop me from getting it because I want to be somebody.
Hey, Sonny, you're showing your age. Are you in your mid or late 40s?
No, I'm 40.
Oh, you're early. Wow, you got
early.
An early jump on Wasp.
Oh, damn. Well, it's like Gary Lee said in a Rush song. I'm still old. I'm young and I'm old enough to know what I've done wrong, but I'm still young enough to change what I can do. So I think that's in, oh, God, what song is that? Bravado? Yeah, I forget. I got a huge CD rack of music, and I listen to it all the time. And anyone who knows me knows that. At any given time, I'll be coming up, someone to make a comment or talk about a situation, I'll have a song that goes with it, man.
That's what I'm talking about. That's awesome. Well, you're younger than me.
Well, thank you.
I just turned.
You look like you're 28, so don't give me that crap.
Yeah, I'm 43.
Shit.
How about you, Austin? What are you, mid 40s?
52.
Are you 52? You're shitting me.
No, I wouldn't. Why would I lie?
So,
I don't lie about anything else. I'm not going to start lying about my age. It is what it is.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? I see a lot of things that these younger generation kids are going through. A lot of these young kids, just looking at some of the books. A few years ago, I saw that one kid from, was it Minnesota? What the hell is his name? God, he was like 14 years old, turned into an activist. He was showing videos on how his book was talking about the New World Order. And how it was good and all this other stuff. And we started questioning it. They threw his ass down in the principal's office, and then they had their cops arrest him because they were infringing on him to even be able to speak. He's like, you can't infringe my freedom of speech. I can say anything the hell I want. Oh, no, you can't say anything in here. Then they threw cuffs on him and tried to scare him. I was like, what the hell? And turned the kid into an activist. So, I mean it's great.
Well, they're arresting 5, 6, and 7-year-olds now.
Oh, yeah, the six-year-old that went
starting,
to the...
they're starting young. They're starting to
the
indoctrinate them young.
Running errands. Yeah, and he gets thrown in the clink. Or they're going after the parents to throw him out. I mean, really? Dude, I can remember memories in the 70s when I'd walk to and from school as soon as I was able to by the first, second grade. I was walking to school every damn day. I never had a problem. Now they call child abuse. And how about Vermont? Was it Vermont? If you spank your kids now, you go to prison? Jesus Christ.
Yep.
I had a picture on Fascist Book. I had a really great picture. I had a picture of a 50s-looking dad. He had a kid bent over his knee spanking him. He said, if we have more of this, we have less of this. And he sees just like three thugs sitting there, with the little gangster hookup and their sideways ball cap doing gang signs. Like, yeah, what's up, G? It's like, what the fuck? If you had more spanking going on when it's warranted, you'd have less of that crap happening.
And
how about the days when your neighborhood girl would get knocked up? It was a scandal, man. You don't go around spreading your legs. Oh, dude, little Susie down the street got knocked up. Oh, dude, she was persona non grata. It's like, you're a skank, I mean, it's acceptable behavior now. It's almost like, oh, when are you going to get pregnant? That's almost the new mentality these days. Oh, you're 14. You got all your girl parts going on. Cool.
Look at the propaganda shit on MTV, 16 and pregnant.
One of my best friends from high school has a younger brother who, is right now in his 20s, and he brought over, there was a party at her house, and it was just like, a bunch of 40 and 50-year-olds hanging out. So he brought his friends over. They're all in their, 18, 19, 20, young 20s, whatever. They took off all their clothes at an adult party and started having an orgy in the bathtub.
Sweet.
Or in the hot tub. And, everybody freaked out. They were like, oh, my God, You know, I won't even get into the graphics of it, but it was bad. And so, you know, she questioned him about it, and he's like, this is normal for us. This happens at all the parties. Like, it's orgies are normal. It's very normal.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to a frat party at your favorite, you know, Sigma Phi Pi thing, whatever. You know, you find that happen a lot. But, and of course, there's all sorts of other things going on where they try to purposely get a chick drunk so they can have their way with her. You know, I can't tell how many girls, you know, please make sure that if you go to a frat party, drink something like 7-Up or something, because nobody's going to know what's in your glass, and always keep it within sight because somebody can put something in it. You know, date rape,
right,
drug,
yeah,
or whatever the case may be. You wind up looking like, the Barbie dolls that got rejected. One of them was called Sorority Slut Barbie. She had a little cheerleader outfit on, and her panties were at her ankles. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But that's more likely a true-life scenario, what happens when you go to some of these parties. Somebody drops something in your drink. You don't know what's going on. You're making out with some dude. Next thing you know, you drink your shit. You're knocked out. And hope to God you went knocked up or have an STD because, you know, some guy might have his way with your worst, every woman's worst nightmare. They go and run a train on you. I mean, this is the type of stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
Well,
it does.
Well, the thing is, you got a slippery slope. This is happening in society. But it's happening by design. They're really promoting this kind of behavior from our young children, and they're hiding true facts and true history from them, and they're hiding a real education under the guise of a basic propaganda box. Every school,
right.
99% of the schools in this country are little propaganda boxes. That's all
they
are.
Yeah. This is why I recommend homeschooling as a secondary or it's not a primary, but at least as a secondary form of education, because you can kind of correct some of the wrongs there. And then plus you see
I would recommend homeskooling, period. I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, I would
kids,
too.
There's no way in hell I would raise my kids in the public school system. Are you crazy? No
there's
way.
There's an excellent book. There's an excellent book you should look up on this, and actually as an adult you can use it as well by this author. Springboro Library had carried this, and actually I love this book. It's by Susan Wise Bauer, and it's called The Well-Trained Mind, and it covers the whole thing about classical education, teaching the classic trivium. And it's got lists on basically age appropriations of when you should teach them certain things, like obviously beginning with history, starting with like the first book of the Bible, Genesis. But then you start reading like the Epic of Gilgamesh, start moving on up to some of your Chinese writers, and then you start getting into your Greek philosophers and some of your Roman philosophers. You start going from there instead of the crap they teach you now. Or, you know, at Sinclair Community College in Dayton, I shit you not, their world history begins at zero. So they've eliminated the entire Greco-Roman experience of the Republic. They basically go from Augustus on up. And it's like, dude, even though he's a benevolent leader in some ways, Augustus was a tyrant. It's just like, and before, you know, obviously Tiberius was a true tyrant, but, you know, he's a benevolent leader. I mean, he was pretty much watchful over, he was speaking out against adultery and things of that nature. But the whole original purpose of the Republic was to overthrow the monarchy. You know, when Cincinnatus came and became dictator to solve the problem, as soon as it was done, he went back to plowing his fields. That set the precedent for George Washington. So it's
right.
Like, dude, he could have been king, but he's like, no, I've done my duty, I'm going home. You know, and he spent the last few years of his life there on Mount Vernon. You know,
right.
How many rulers would have that power and then just lay it down? Not very many. But I would definitely get that book, The Well-Trained Mind by Susan Wise Bauer. It's an excellent tool. And there's a follow-up for adults. It's called The Well-Educated Mind. And it's got a lot of stuff in there that you need to know how to get a classical education, because you're never too old to get educated. You know, you can always start at any age. It may vary in speeds because of what you can intake and what you can go at. But if you're able to homeschool on your own, whether it's yourself or your children, you can go at your own pace. So I highly recommend that you do that. Now, in Cincinnati this weekend, Ron Paul is speaking at a homeschool convention on Saturday. And from what I've seen from the website, I think it's CincinnatiHomeschoolingConvention.com or .org or something like that. He's speaking at 6 o'clock for about an hour. But they've got a whole gamut of different resources there. So I'm actually looking forward to looking into that, getting various business cards and websites and flyers so, you know, I can kind of not only educate myself but others close to me as well, so that way, you know, we can be a little bit more educated. Because I'm seeing some of these kids in their government and history classes don't know squat from Shinola. And then when they actually get just a little bit educated from someone like me who basically runs a tea party, but tell you what, they go in there and they just totally floor the teachers. They're kind of like to the point where they start looking like a horse shack off of Welcome Back, Kotter, you know. It's because they know the answer. Oh, it's like, no, I'm not going to call on you because I know you know the Constitution. Shut up.
Yeah, yep. Did you guys hear the story about the elementary, I think it was an elementary school teacher who told everybody to write Jesus on a piece of paper and put it on the floor and stomp on it?
Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
and then some kid wouldn't do it. He refused to do it, and they ended up suspending him.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't think religion should have any place in the school system. You know, I mean, religion is something you do with yourself and at home. I don't think it has any place. And here's interesting. I did a vlog about this recently. Me personally, okay, I could look at it and say, okay, why is it if you look at all the days the government gets off, they get out of session, or they get days off for national holidays, all sorts of crap. It's like, dude, you ever actually looked at a schedule for a college campus? You see how many days are actually closed, and you're paying how much per credit hour? Yeah, I'm sitting there going, you're hardly even in session to learn anything because they always got these damn holidays that they're off. And then various companies, depending on who they're owned by, especially by certain other religious sects that we mentioned earlier before, but I won't say who they are, I have to observe their holidays on my calendar. And I go, wait a minute, hold on now. If I have to see your holiday on my calendar, I should get it off with pay. You know? Because you're getting my holidays off with pay, so why can't I get your holidays off with pay, like Yom Kippur or Kwanzaa or some of these other damn holidays that they list depending on the religious group? It's like, if I have to observe that on a calendar, I want off with pay, dude. If not, then don't do anything. I'm the type of guy, I'd rather work on Christmas because for me that would be time and a half. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I've worked the last 6-7 Thanksgivings. I've worked a double shift.
Oh, yeah. For overtime.
Well,
you know?
I don't. Well, it's not overtime for what I do, but it's very busy, and I make a lot of money. That's why I do it.
Right. Well, here's the argument: if they want to take one nation under God out, and they want to take out of In God We Trust out of the money as well as off of public buildings, they want to allow that. Here's an interesting thing: we have the rule of law, supposedly, right? And it's derived from very different sources originally. If you're worried about displaying the Ten Commandments in the courtroom, I have a problem with that because there's a lot of good lessons in there if you want to observe them or not, okay? But if you're going to observe the Ten Commandments, why not the 12 Tables of Rome? Why not some of the other backbones of law and litigation that have come out over the centuries that we recognize, whether they be the original base ideas and until they manifested into something else that we have today? Why can't we observe all those in our courtrooms? But yet the judge would say, I do not allow the Constitution in my courtroom? Excuse me? You know, what's very interesting is I saw it once. I wish I could find it. And if anyone knows what episode it was, please send it to me. It was on episode of Law and Order. I don't remember which one. But apparently, and you see how they're using this propaganda to attack, like, sovereign citizens and things of that nature, correct?
Right.
What they're doing is there was one episode of Saw where they arrested these guys. And they went to court. You know, the first half is the law and the second half is the order of the show, right? And
right. The
guy brought up a very interesting thing. He basically told the judge he had no say in the case whatsoever. And he said, why do you say that? He said, you see that flag over there? And he pointed the American flag sitting up on the post. He says, that is a military flag. And he says, how so? He said, it's in gold braid. So should be a military tribunal. You are a civilian judge, which means you have no jurisdiction in this courtroom. You should get the hell out.
It's a court of admiralty law.
Admiralty law.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a very interesting episode where either maybe trying to besmirch the whole idea by putting it in there, the idea is still out there for you to consume. See, you've seen like one episode of CSI New York where they're attacking the guy who's a conspiracy theorist or something like that and chase him down and kill him because he was talking about the chemtrails, he was talking about the Federal Reserve and everything.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, they tried to really make this guy look like he was a nut, you know. Even the one of the college rags they have here in the Dayton area, it's called Dayton City Paper, and they have a column called Conspiracy Theory or something like that, and he was talking about how this whole thing in Cyprus is going on, and he laid it all out, and of course, at the end, this is a disclaimer, says this is for entertainment purposes only, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, whatever, but you know what? The information was there. You're able to consume it, you know. At least I have the choice of reading it. You know, I don't want it censored. I don't want it not put out because, in fact, I want all opinions to be out there so I can discern between this article and another article. The truth is somewhere in between. So one of the things I do in the library system is they got a lot of library systems lean left. They have a serious bias towards anything somewhat conservative. Even the school library system, I captured video of their political section, was absolutely remiss of anything real substance. Their idea of conservative thought is Sean Hannity. Really? Are you freaking kidding me here? But you got the Communist Manifesto? I was like, you got the Communist Manifesto, but you don't have Mein Kampf. What the hell? You know, I was just like, you should be able to have point counterpoint. So, prime example, Michael Moore's film, Fahrenheit 9/11, okay? Complete propaganda bullshit, okay? It's just totally outlandish, right? But Dick Morris put out a counterpoint to that called Fahrenheit 9/11, and actually had some good commentators in there, and, you know, had Ann Coulter, typical neocons you find there. But there was two of them in there that were pretty good. He had Zell Miller in there, the former governor and senator from Georgia. He put out some good commentary. But the best line in the whole film was by actor Ron Silver, who just died recently. He was driving in the car, and he's got the camera on him. He goes, you know, you give me enough footage of Michael Moore in enough situations, I can make him look like an anorexic right-winger. And I was like, holy shit, he's right. I mean, if you got the right content and you know how to spin it, you could totally put it anything you want. I have never been so furious watching a film as I did Fahrenheit 9/11. I haven't shouted at a movie since I saw that movie Dirty Pictures with James Woods about the Mapplethorpe exhibit in Cincinnati. Well, I was so infuriated watching this damn thing, I was cussing out all the damn actors in the film. Because I'm like, dude, go to the museum.
I'll say one good thing about Fahrenheit 9/11, because I was a neocon when I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing stuck in my head in the whole movie, and I could not the whole time I'm doing the same thing. I'm like, you're such a putz, Michael Moore. I can't even believe you just, you know. And I'm doing the same thing as you. But the one thing that got me was when they were filming George Bush, and, you know, when he's sitting there with the kids reading, and he supposedly whispered into his ear and told him about 9/11, and he didn't react. He just went back to reading to the kids, and I thought, what president would do that? If the first major attack on U.S. soil, you know, besides Pearl Harbor, and he just goes back to reading to a bunch of kids, I mean, why wouldn't he just stand up and say, excuse me, I have some business to attend to? No. He acted like he knew it. There was no shock, no surprise, no sense of urgency, and I could not get that image out of my head. And that actually...
Well, okay. I have to be devil's advocate on that for one thing. And you got to look at yourself. You are the most powerful man in the world. You're sitting there at that moment. That you and I would say that would be the typical reaction, right? How I would say this is there is an apparatus in place. You don't know exactly what the words were whispered to in his ear because they could have said something like, this just happened. The World Trade Center has just been attacked. Da-da-da-da. They could be saying things are on alert. It could be something simple as, Vice President is already briefed or something. I mean, I'm just being devil's advocate here because the fact that, it's really hard to put yourself in those shoes unless you're actually in them. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to sit there and kind of judge somebody when you're not actually in the situation because the fact that, but yeah, my first initial reaction was, dude, why do you need to get up right now? And really, when he was doing the initial thing about, I was wanting an FDR speech, man. I was wanting some fists on the podium, like, we're going to go and get these bloodsuckers, you know? I wanted some serious, you know, get me fired up to go kick some ass, man, because we're going to eliminate somebody. But it didn't happen. And that's why I knew something was wrong. But I tell you, the thing that really woke me up on 9/11 was, I hear Jones talk about it all the time, and I'm like, okay, I'm not totally buying it, you know, but I kept listening to it. Then I saw Loose Change. And if you get past the monolithic dialogue, you can actually get some content there that really starts making you go, wow, this thing's really well laid out. But it was Richard Gage's film, Blueprint for Truth, that
right.
showed me that how it was brought down by explosives using the scientific theory. I mean, hell, a skyscraper just went up in, was it in Russia or someplace, and just caught on fire the other day, burned for how many hours, and the damn structure's still standing? Really? That just shows Building 7 even more as a smoking gun. But, you know, the worst thing about the whole thing is it had to be an inside job, and the Bush was all over it. Because you know why? His nephew was in charge of security at World Trade 6 months up to the attack. And you can't tell me there isn't something going on there. There's no conflict of interest. Do you agree?
George Bush, even after the fact, you know, said that he heard it at a different time than he supposedly did hear it. I mean, there are so many lies he's been caught on 9/11. I don't give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's evil.
Well, let's look at precedent here. Look what happened to all the Kennedy's Secret Service protection that happened there on the day of the assassination, November 22nd, 63. Within 10 years, except for one. Within 10 years, all the agents that were on duty on location that day were dead. Within 10 years. One man survived, and he kept quiet for the majority of the time. He recently came out with a book, but it's more or less an aberration of Jackie as opposed to talking anything about Jack, okay? But he basically kept quiet. So he had not a love type of thing, but he had deep affection for Jackie because she was one classy broad, man, you have to admit. I can't imagine a better first lady, especially that time period, to be in the White House than her. Because the fact that, what was one of the things that she did? She made sure that while during their small tenure in there, she felt the White House was representative of the people of the United States. And so she made sure that when everything was replaced, carpet, furniture, whatever was to be replaced, it had to be for the finest items from the states. I don't care if it was an intricate pine wood chair from Oregon, or if it was a particular piece of china from Mississippi. I don't care what it is. She made sure it was representative of the states. That is one high-class broad. She knew her role, and she played it to the hilt. And so
right.
when you saw what happened to her on the day of the assassination, I thought she handled herself with such candor. You're just kind of like, dude, any man in political office would kill to have a wife such as that because of the fact that she basically held his name up with such nobility and such class that you don't see first ladies doing that crap today. Oh, no, they were sitting there telling us how to feed our kids in our damn school systems. Or, you know, one of the
things
that's bothering
me about
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, well, they eat organic at their, you know.
Oh, yeah, she makes sure she's got complete non-GMO foods in her diet. But let's make sure we
yeah.
have GMO foods in the school systems, right?
Right.
I
yeah,
guarantee
yeah.
her
I've
kids
heard,
don't eat McDonald's.
You know, kids get their home their lunches brought from home, taken away from them, and they're forced to eat their little stupid school chicken nuggets.
Oh yeah,
I mean they're poisoning. They're flat out poisonous. It's sick. But hey, I've actually got to take us to a commercial break
okay.
for about 5 minutes, so we can take care of our sponsors.
Okay.
You going to hold tight?
No problem.
All right. We'll be back, guys.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can, and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping. So go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. An Embellus and Burmese film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called SolarVay. And SolarVay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer, for as long as they have SolarVay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has SolarVay. You sign up enough people, and SolarVay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to SolarVay.com/Freedomizer. That's SolarVay, SolarVay.com/Freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, SolarVay.com/Freedomizer.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where Freedomizers freedomize freedom.
We're back.
We're back. Hey, Sonny, I had to duck out for a couple minutes. My apologies. Hopefully you didn't miss me.
Oh, no, brother. I appreciate your commentary, because you brought up a lot of very good, valid points, and it just fuels me, because you can tell when I get on topic, man, I get fired up, so watch out.
And it's all good in the neighborhood, but I left you in very capable and wonderful and beautiful hands with Liberty Lisa. So
I'm in good hands.
Gotcha.
Hey, Austin, if it makes me feel any better, I didn't miss you.
Oh, gee, thanks, honey. Good looking out. I love you, too.
Hey, just for the listeners out there, you're listening to FreedomizerRadio.com, currently Guerrilla Radio. We are on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And you're broadcasting live in the Dayton area at 105.5 FM on the HMD Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. We're networking, baby.
Oh, yeah.
we're on radio, so we could get by with the shits and the dams, but we won't drop the F-bomb. So don't be dropping any F-bombs, Lisa. This isn't Leap Here the Mouth,
I am not the one with the issues, Austin Thomas. You dropped the F-bombs, not I.
Well, it was for anyone listening, all the listeners that tuned in that night, including our fearless leader, the Big Kahuna Proof Negative. That was like a one-time deal. We went over the top, and I'm going to say it. We went way over the top.
This ship is not American.
That's what we play when you drop the bomb.
I thought this was internet radio, man. I didn't think profanity still had a home here, just as well as it does in my toolbox. I'm working on that complete effing bolt that doesn't want to effing come off. You know what I mean?
Right. It's true. I mean, the profanity. But we're on 3 to 6, 6 to 9. I mean, you know, we're kind of prime time. You know, after midnight Eastern time, 9 p.m. Pacific, we're a little bit more lenient with that kind of stuff. But we stay in the parameters.
I talked to Proof the other night, and Proof, the owner of the radio station, Proof Negative. And he just told me, he's like, you know, I'm cool with, the late night shows dropping a little bit of F-bombs, just so it's not every other word. And honestly, it was every other word on that particular night, that particular show, because, AJ, Renegade Smith, and Austin had basically conspired. They're like, yeah, we got Lee the Mouth on. Let's just go drop F-bombs like crazy. And so it was done.
But it was done. Shame on me. I was bad, Austin. We did it. So Proof. I'm calling myself out. It's not on Lee. It's not on AJ. It was my doing. I'm mad enough to admit it.
Aww.
Well, yeah.
For you, Austin.
Oh yeah, as you see here, Sonny, we have fun with it. I mean, you know, we do get the message out, and I'm proud to be part of the Freedomizer family. And Liberty Lisa, God sent her to me. She's been a gift to me, but we have fun with it. I mean, you know, if you're looking for monotone doom and gloom and all that, you're not going to get it here. So, sorry.
Play it in, because I listen to other channels, and some of it gets pretty dull, because they're always, you know. This is one thing I've always kind of hated about, like, Loose Change again. Monotone voice, it actually put me to sleep the first 4 times I watched the film, or, like, an often critic that I hear some of my friends say about Alex Jones. In his films, he always seems to have, like, a doom and gloom type of voice in his presentations.
Right.
But a lot of it's just...
Not only that, but... The other thing that bothers me about the Awake community is, okay, granted, it is gloom and doom, and it's pretty bad, and you can't trust pretty much anything out there. But it's like I always say, we're all drowning, and you're describing the water. You know, why not take the time into your message and not just describe the water, but say, hey, you know, here's a way that we can get out of this situation. You know, how about this? How about that? And putting out solutions as well as just what the problems are. So,
but you got to be careful about how they do that. The reason why I say that is because sometimes they use the Delphi method, and what they do is they get you to buy into the very tyranny that you came to protest. So you got to know how the Hegelian dialect works, and then when you go from that point on, you can just kind of go, ha ha, I'll try to political correctness. call a duck, man. Don't call it a waterfowl, you know? If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a frickin' duck. Not a waterfowl.
Oh!
And we want to thank AJ Renegade Smith for all our wonderful sound effects. He's the man. He is Guerrilla Radio's patriot, unpaid patriot behind the scenes, helping us all the time, calling the shows. And I always give props to my friend in the 215, the AJ Renegade Smith. And check him out on YouTube, please, folks. The man is awake with a message. My rant's done.
AJ's awesome. AJ, since we did the show together, since we started together, he's been there for us. He's called in whenever he can and taking time out of his day to research, you know, even brought us a couple of our guests and gave us our film clips. So he's just, you know, he's all about it. He's all about the fact that Austin and I are out there trying to promote, you know, the truth and get the truth out there, and he wants to be a part of it. And that's somebody I can really respect and get behind. None of us are getting paid for what we do. You know, it's all volunteer. We're doing it,
well, it
you know, from, the, from our heart.
Yeah, it should be, because of the fact that appropriately calling it Guerrilla Radio, I mean, if you saw how Reagan did some of his policies in the 80s, what he did was he was broadcasting, like, for example, the if you want to call it the conservative triumvirate, which was Reagan, Thatcher, and John Paul II, they actually were very well timed and an excellent team together, because they're able to penetrate the Iron Curtain and were broadcasting the Catholic Mass, like, over the Berlin Wall into Poland and the occupied Soviet territories, which woke a lot of people up. Not to mention before that, the Beatles have been cited as one of the main influences to starting up serious movements within the Soviet, because of the fact that their records had said so much different things, even though they're just, as John accused Paul later on, of singing silly love songs, that it resonated with a lot of the kids. And just like this generation here grew up with the Beatles, a lot of kids in the Soviet Union had smuggled those records in. And, you know, there's one guy here in Cincinnati, at one of the Cincinnati Tea Party meetings, to me, is very inspirational. He actually lived in East Germany. He was raised a communist and everything else, you know, like they're supposed to, because they've been indoctrinated since the cradle. But he started to wake up, and there was talk about how they would somehow mangle an antenna to go up the side of a building near a water pipe just so they can try to get it up in the air to try to tune in some of these foreign broadcasts that were coming in, one with
right.
the Catholic Mass and some of the other stuff. And unless the Stasi was coming around and start knocking on the door, they would listen until they had to hurry up and put the thing away. But he found out that he actually had Austrian citizenship, and he was in the process of getting the hell out. And literally him and his wife are running towards the gate and just got through the gate literally before an arm was literally almost an arm's length of grabbing his wife and pulling her back in, okay? And they managed to escape. When he came to the United States, he became a citizen eventually. He started his own business, et cetera, et cetera. Then we started hearing Barack Obama campaigning. He's like, oh, my God, this is the same shit I ran away from 20 years ago.
Right.
So he started speaking out in a real thick Eastern German accent. You know, he has a long speech he likes to go through at some of the meetings. But you know what? There was one part of it that he said that forever resonated with me. He's like, you know, it's nothing worse than you think you've seen the light at the end of the tunnel and you realize it's an oncoming train that you got to get the hell out. And he says, this is what I feel like what's going on here right now. I said, I ran away from this stuff. I came here to run away from that. Now it's coming here.
Right.
So,
well,
he's a living example.
And the point, I can hopefully speak for Lisa and myself that we do this is, don't get me wrong, I love America. There's no other country I'd rather be in than here. But we're going down the road of tyranny, and I don't want to become an East Germany. I don't want it to become that, and it can. And people out there, listen to me. It can happen here. Who sang that song? The man with all the songs in his head?
That must be a 60s protest song. I'm not familiar with that. It was probably Bob Dylan or something.
But it can happen. And these tyrannous F-tards, I didn't drop it, are slowly and surely taking away every little bits of our liberties, bit by bit, step by step, from that old Three Stooges, show. But they are, and I'm pissed. I'm ready to draw a line in the sand. Who's with me?
Oh, I'm already there with Travis, man.
Yeah.
I'm Davy Crockett.
Yeah.
I'm
100% for it. You know,
at least the Jim Bowie.
I'm here with Michael Badnarik. Have you ever seen his clip, I Will Not Comply, period?
Yes.
Oh. That still gives me goosebumps to this day. And how old is that?
I tell you what, I really wish he would speak more because of the fact that I really like some of his viewpoints. And I wish he would do a little bit more of a commentary thing or do vlogs or something because he has a lot to say. And of course, you heard recently Ron Paul is getting ready to start his own radio channel. I don't know the particulars of it at this point. I know it's been pretty much inked in. I don't know when the tentative date is going to be. But hopefully it can be broadcast over the internet and then that, smartphones can pick it up because, so no, that's how we listen to the information and get it out.
Well, I've got it in our archives. When did we have Michael on? What was that, a couple weeks ago, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it was a couple weeks.
I'd love for you to post that and share that. He's awesome. I do like Michael. I really do.
Oh, same with Richard Mack. I met him at Liberty Fest 2 in New York City back in September of 2011, and he's woken up so many sheriffs and people that realize to start holding the sheriffs accountable. I mean, matter of fact, when the sheriffs started stepping up and telling Obama, screw you with the gun grabs, I still haven't had a chance really to wrangle my neocon Mason, Freemason affiliated sheriff in Warren County, Larry Sims, call him up and say, hey, where you stand on this issue, pal? Because I haven't heard word one out of you. And I recently heard,
right.
Hamilton County Sheriff, I think, had stepped up recently, got on 55 KRC in Cincinnati on Brian Thomas's morning show, and they just said, I will not comply with that. And any law enforcement agency, police chief, or anything like that sides with that fascist POS deserves what he gets. But I can tell you this right now, is that we better start holding them accountable because when the crap hits the fan, it's going to come fast and it's going to come hard. Mm-hmm. And so
right.
At the same time, support your local police. You got to let them know. Wake up. Let me tell you something. A buddy of mine was playing Alex Jones in Middletown, Ohio for a while. Okay, a little transmitter, and he's broadcasting on InfoWars feed all the time, and he just let it go, right? One day he got pulled over by a cop, and the cop was just giving a friendly reminder, letting him know his taillight was out. We got out of the car, walked up to the cruiser because the cop hadn't gotten out yet. And he noticed he was listening to Alex Jones on this transistor terrestrial radio. He's like, oh, you listen to Alex Jones? He's like, yeah, man, every night on my shift, boy, I'm listening to him. He's like, are you awake? He's like, you better believe it. Didn't realize he was talking to the guy who was helping put that out. But, I mean, you got to broadcast what you can because if it wakes up one person, I don't care if it's a neighbor or kid down the street or something. Do it because it's well worth the investment and getting information out why you still can. It's no different. We have to assume that we are an electronic Berlin Wall and that we're in an occupied territory and that we're in a FEMA zone. I'm in FEMA zone 4, if I remember correctly, and then we need to start treating it as an armed invasion because we've been invaded by our own government who are funded by the banksters and run by the globalists.
We have been invaded.
We have ultimately, the British are coming, the British are coming, the British are here. It's done. All the money, everything ties back to the Vatican and ties back overseas where we tried to separate ourselves from in the first place. If you look at lawyers, they're part of the Bar Association. They're pledging allegiance to the Brits. I mean,
What did Benjamin Franklin say? Benjamin Franklin said the first enemy of the Constitution is the trial lawyer.
Yep.
Right, correct.
Look at John Edwards as a prime example. The guy would come up and basically turn into a miniature stage actor, and he'd sit there and come on Junk Science and got millions of dollars and fortune for it over a bunch of BS. You know, did he ever watch some of his present some of his cases? Oh, my God. So it wouldn't surprise me he was caught messing around with one of his aides and then basically deserted his wife while that stuff was going on, and then lied about the damn kid. You know, it doesn't surprise me. It's part of his character. Pretty boy Floyd, he got caught finally, you know? Jeez.
Well, you know, we're talking about the invasion. We've been invaded from within. This is 1984. This is Orwellian time. We're invaded from within with all the technology. Everything is a ubiquitous grid. We're all locked in the grid.
Right.
Be it cell phone, computer, whatever. You're all part of that ubiquitous grid. That's what you're in.
I tell you, though, you should really look at how some of the policies came to be. And a lot of people want to point to the hippies and stuff or the radical new left of the 60s. That's not the case. A lot of it derived from the Frankfurt School, which happened in the 1930s in Nazi Germany, when they were starting to become somewhat getting their feet off the ground, and Hitler came to power in 1933. They realized, oh, man, the jig's up. We better get the hell out of here. And so because he was cleaning out any type of Marxist thought. And really, you know, what that means is, in buzzwords, is he didn't want any competition. So because socialism, Nazism, and communism aren't much different from each other. They're just variances of colors. But they're still in the same colored spectrum. So what they did was they came to New York. And no sooner than they came to New York, they started attacking the very city which was hosting them, criticizing them and doing everything else. And then they came up with critical theory, which is attacking institutions, which leads to political correctness. And then you start seeing leaders such as Mancuso and some of these other, and Adorno and all these other guys that were prominent writers in the 60s who helped get all these hippies running around with free love and all this other crap that's happening and just totally complete social societal breakdown. And then you have what you have with the hippie movement in the 60s. But you also got to look. Their ideals were crushed because Kennedy was taken out. So their innocence had been taken from them. And then as soon as Johnson gets in office, what does he do? He basically comes up with the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which is crap. It was all organized, right. False flag attack. Starts sending up boys over there for, instead of a police action. It turns into a full-scale war without calling it a war. And Goldwater is correct in 64 and says, what type of stuff we got going on here? We have no plan for victory. We have no agenda whatsoever except being there. And it's just like, call it what it is. Goldwater should have been elected president in 64. If he had been elected, a lot of things would have changed. You'd have gotten us out of Vietnam so damn fast that our heads would have spun. Because Kennedy knew it was bad. He was going to get us out. That was going to be part of his corner of his campaign speech in 64. He was going to get us out. I mean, you look at all the stuff that he did while he was in office, you know. They thought they could hold him down by, you know, letting him have Marilyn Monroe and have all this other stuff. That's because the medication to get him for his back pains that he got from the injury during the PT-109 incident, it was making him hard.
Wait. I mean, Kennedy was an awesome president. I mean, but his personal life was his personal life. Don't go making excuses that the guy was on pain meds and all this.
No. You got to understand the stuff that they were giving him. For example,
a grown man. He made his own decisions.
Right, but you got to understand some of the stuff. The medicine back then was different than it is now. And at the same time, Khrushchev saw this when he met him in Germany, because he was pumped up on a lot of pain medication so he could sit there for long periods of time to try to talk with Khrushchev. You could see pain in somebody, even if they're medicated up, okay? When Kennedy was trying to hold out an olive branch, Khrushchev saw weakness, okay? You can understand how a Soviet leader thinks. They think in more military terms. If you ever watch anime and watch Robotech, he's like Zentradi, okay? They think of a war and conquest, nothing else. And so when he came back, that's why he started pushing the Cuban Missile Crisis, because he saw Kennedy was weak. He said, Kennedy showed him, I'm not weak. And that's when he did the blockade and threatened to take them out. He was right to do so. But one thing that I respect about Kennedy, and Reagan did this too, it's no different than Mark Antony going to the people in Rome. You go to the people and you tell them what's going on. When's the last time Barack Obama actually talked to us? Nada. When was the last time Bush actually said something of actual value? Nada. It's all propaganda. You know, Reagan actually came to the people and said, hey, I need to do this. I need your help. And bam, we took Congress and said, hey, help Reagan out. You know, those days are gone, man. All the president is anymore is a figurehead who signs the checks. Because if they do anything out of step, they get clipped. That's what it's turned into.
Of course.
So,
of course.
Look at episode of Star Trek, you know.
And I'm going to throw something at you. I know you're a Paul bot. I can hear your passion when you talk about him. But I just want to ask you this and keep an open mind. Do you believe that? Now think about things. Do you really believe that Ron Paul maybe is controlled opposition?
I've heard different stories about that, but I would say 80-90% no. He's a man of principle, and he's been consistent. Now, his son, Rand, I think he's Anakin Skywalker.
Hey, and don't get me wrong. Ron Paul's done a lot of good things, and he's taken a stand, but, I mean, I step back to see the forest through the trees, and there's some things that just aren't right. And I mean, you're rallying against the Masons. You know his wife is deep in the Masons. You know that, Ron Paul's wife.
Ron Paul's wife?
Yes.
Oh, you can't help that in some of these groups, man. They're so infiltrated. It's like the Zionists. They're so infiltrated in different families. You can't know who to trust and who's pure. There's no such thing anymore.
Well, no one's here.
I was a big time, you know, Ron Paul person, and I'm not saying that I dislike him now, but I do have questions in my head now. I mean, the more I've learned, the deeper I've gone down the rabbit holes. So I'm like, okay, well, in the Fed is a message they actually want to get out there, because they plan on crashing the monetary system and bringing in a new world currency, so they don't care.
Right.
Like, that's good for them, you know? And then, as far as, like, talking about peace and you know, non-intervention policies, well, I'm a Christian, and you know, the Bible talks about the Antichrist bringing in, quote-unquote, peace. And I just kind of see this whole thing setting up for someone, you know, for their purposes. And, I of course, he said some really great things, and he did have integrity in his voting record and everything else, and I think for the most part, he's a good person, but I also think his Achilles heel is his son, and I think that if there was a threat made, you know, to save the life of his son, he would do pretty much anything. So,
look at how Rand threw his dad under the bus and hooked up with the minister who we all knew wasn't going to get the appointment for president. I was saying that for months that Obama was going to be reappointed. But, I mean, but the whole politics, the dirtiness of that, to actually stab your dad in the back and twist the knife and shake the hands of a puppet.
There's two ways to look at that, Austin. One is the fact that he's in the machine. He's got respect. And a lot of people I talk to, even some of the older people, they don't like Ron Paul because of his, quote-unquote, isolationism policy, and I have to constantly explain to them the difference between isolationism and non-interventionism. When you start citing Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and George Washington on non-intervention, they start going, oh, okay. But otherwise, they're just totally befuddled by that. But you've got to understand, he's in the machine. He stands a chance of getting control. I mean, Ron Paul's supporters control the Iowa GOP. That is a major accomplishment, and I'm a strict constitutionalist first before I'm a quote-unquote Ron Paul supporter. Ron Paul is just a man with a message, and then he said that himself. The man's imperfect, but the message is perfect, and that's freedom, liberty, and be able to choose what you want, when you want, how you want, and which way you want to do it. You know, I recently got in a debate on someone's Facebook page about a topic, and they're talking about gay marriage. You know, me personally, I'm against it. But you know what? Me, I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't give a damn what someone does in the privacy of their own home. You want to smoke weed? You want to hoop it up, scoop it up, shoot it up? You want to watch kiddie porn like Pee Wee Herman? I don't give a damn what you do. As long as you don't get someone else involved, hurt them, get them involved, or step outside of the house while you're inebriated, or go looking for somebody to go mess with.
As long as you're not infringing on anyone else's constitutional rights.
Exactly.
And you're not hurting anyone but yourself.
No victim, no crime. No victim,
right.
No crime. But,
you know, I agree with what you're saying.
I mean,
who's people
you're
ever hurting?
That Ron Paul people have taken over a lot of the GOP party, and that's awesome. Because you know what? Like I was saying earlier, describing the water while we all drown, we've got to come up with solutions. You know, I respect that. At least they're trying to change things. At least they're trying to change things. And, yeah.
The neocons are rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic. That's their philosophy.
Right.
And that's the problem.
And the Democrats' philosophy, these libtards, is drive faster, hit the iceberg harder.
Right, exactly. I mean, these long in the tooth fascist liberals that call themselves liberals, but they're actually communists, and they wear the hat of social democrat, okay, so they can hide themselves, or they've actually hide themselves in the environmental movement, which they're using the EPA as a bludgeoning tool as opposed to a surgical knife to ram down stuff on the states and people that aren't in vogue with the current administration. So obviously, if you're not with in the hip pocket of GE, you're a competition, and like John Rockefeller said, competition is a sin, I'm going to get rid of you. They'll shut you down for the slightest infraction, you know what I'm saying? So that's the problem that we have. But I could tell you what, I could tell you from being in the Tea Party movement, one of the things we did through the Cincinnati Tea Party, and they've been really instrumental, and I've actually been wanting to do this. I've been wanting to grade the various Tea Parties in the area because some of them are good, others, some are completely run by neocon Republicans, but some of them that started off as neocon groups have been taken over by true patriots and been reorchestrated. But the Cincinnati Tea Party, I have to give them props to Chris Littleton for the most part, is that they distill the legislation down to layman's terms so you understand what you're getting and what you're signing, okay? A lot of these guys won't do this. But there's some like the Dayton Tea Party, which is clearly obvious. They're run by neocons and basically opportunists. And then you got some of the others that are run up there like in Portage County where they've got interesting background of guys who may or may not have turned a whole new leaf, I don't know, but end up running other groups and stuff, and it's like they have a clear, obvious agenda. It's an us-against-them mentality. For example, they attack Occupy Wall Street like they're the new enemy. Let me tell you something. I was down there in Cincinnati when Occupy Cincinnati started. I was with some of the main ringleaders. Let me tell you something. It was four main groups that started that damn thing. First one was a complete socialist fascist guy. I can't remember his name, but he was a complete socialist, okay? Another one was more of a, shall I say, a progressive libertarian in a way. I was able to kind of talk reason to him. There's a lot of Ron Paul supporters, some in the fetters in there, and some other things, you know. But there were some that started to quickly infiltrate the group to try to get their agenda put into place, like this homeless group guy. And luckily, Nathan Lane, one of the guys in there, was like, you know, I agree with some of your talking points in this agenda, but this is far too young to try to incorporate all this stuff into our game plan, you know. And here's the interesting thing. They stood up for their rights, though. They went to a park and protested. They got arrested by the damn Cincinnati police. They got thrown in the clink. They sued over it, and they won because, for one, there was no rules written that you can't stay in a park overnight. They stood up for the rights and won. Now, the bad side of this is, the money they got from that, for good sense, they were able to establish a headquarters. Great. Phenomenal. Here's the problem. They took that money from the people of Cincinnati by suing them, the city over it. Who's the city going to take the money from? The people. They're already $20 million in debt. They've got a complete city council run by complete liberal fascists who want to have a streetcar project that's going nowhere. And that this mayor that's in now is going to various foreign countries, including China, to try to get funding for this thing. This is the type of stuff that's going on in just one metropolitan area. I can imagine the scenarios that are going on maybe in your town. But I can tell you this from personal fact. Get in these groups. Start talking to people. Start putting forth your libertarian ideas and say, there's a lot of things we agree on. There's a lot of things we're not going to agree on. But let's agree on basic fundamental principles. I have a right to do whatever the hell I want, when I want, when I want, as long as I don't bother you, you know?
Right.
You start with that argument, they automatically start listening. You know what I'm saying? But if you want to affect change, get into the GOP. And how I say this is, start at the lowest level of political pyramid, which is a precinct captain. A precinct captain is basically on that county's central committee who helps approve appointments. For example, in my case, we had a prosecutor that was running for appellate judge, unopposed. So she, all she had to do was vote for herself, and she was in, okay? You had the assistant prosecutor who was we had a somewhat of an infamous case here, a guy named Ryan Widmark, I think his name is, who was accused of drowning his newlywed wife in a bathtub, all right? This guy
nice.
Had three trials over this damn thing because obviously there's something wrong. There was jurors that were found to be perjured themselves. They found all sorts of mishaps, and this guy's trying to get a trial over and over again, right? I don't know all the details, but I can tell you just from what I read and all the foibles that's going on, this guy's probably innocent, okay? I can tell you, getting railroaded through the system myself, that they made sure to make an item out of this guy, all right? So you start getting people in there that are running for office, and then you say, look, you're not getting my vote until you and I sit down and have a long, lengthy question. The guy that was running against the assistant prosecutor that was wanting to take the top spot, he was an outsider coming in. He was a cousin of another guy that was part of the Tea Party movement, but I'm like, still, I want to question you. We met up for breakfast. I had him for about an hour and a half. I quizzed him. I drilled him hard. I said, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? What about this constitutional issue? This, that, and the other. I got the answers I was happy with. I voted for him. Literally, I realized shortly after he was in there, he turned tail on me. There was this guy that was chased over six different police precincts on a high-speed chase on State Route 73, black fella. Whatever reason he was being chased by Carlisle cops, they chased him through six other police districts. I'm sorry. That's violating jurisdiction, okay? They chased this guy. Warren County Sheriff's had a roadblock on State Route 42 in Waynesville, stop sticks. He's trying to avoid the stop sticks, loses control of the car, hits the deputy's car, and the deputy standing in front of him kills him, okay? This guy got convicted of a murder one charge. Murder is malicious intent, okay? He didn't
right.
purposely go, I'm going to find Deputy Duel, I'm going to kill that SOB with my car. No, he lost damn control of the car. His adrenaline was pumping up. He knew he was going to get caught. He was trying to get out of the mess. And the guy gets murder one. He should have got to a manslaughter. This is the type of prosecution that's going on, and I say persecution, actually. So when I heard what's going on in Texas where the two prosecutors got shot, you know what I said? Doesn't surprise me. They probably got tired of getting railroaded by the system and said, we're going to teach this guy a lesson. Boom. I'm not condoning it. I don't approve of it. But it's a symptom of a problem. You have a complete judicial industrial complex system here going on, and you see it with drug cases. They're putting people in the clink in prison for marijuana possession. Really? How much pot does it take to equal amount of a small rock of crack? You know, I was totally for the drug war until I saw one documentary. It was American Drug War, I think it was, came out a few years ago. And what's his name? Freeway Rick, the drug dealer out in L.A. that got caught or something. He was talking about it. It woke my eyes up a little bit, and I started understanding what was going on. Rappers like Ice Cube have been telling us what was going on in his early albums. They were
right.
bringing the stuff in, putting it in the inner city neighborhoods, getting them to fight each other over nickel dime deals. And then when they get caught thrown in the system, it's a whole other mechanism going on here. So there's a problem. Why is the majority, there's more black males in prison than in college. Why is that? You know, you have the value system of the family destroyed by all these Marxists. They've watered down the school system curriculum. They've attacked the family at every angle. They made divorce trendy, you know. I mean, even if you couldn't stand your wife, you still stayed married, at least while your kids were growing up. Now it's like, screw it, I'm out of here. You know, it's like nobody has any stomach to deal with any problems anymore. The family unit is totally under attack. And then you get books like Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique, basically saying that it should be a matriarchal society instead of a patriarchal society. And then it's like some of these women don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. You know, you need the dad in the mix. I mean, Tupac even said, had I had a father in my life growing up, I never would have went to gangs. People have to find some other way to get a family unit. This is the problem. America is totally under attack. Now you've got little Susie, who's a cross-dresser, who wants to join the Boy Scouts, and vice versa in the Brownies, okay? When's it going to end? It's bad enough that they're starting to train Boy Scouts to basically be Hitler youth and go after domestic terrorists wearing John Deere hats and carrying a .45. This is what's going on in America today. And nobody wants to talk about it.
you know, we're probably the only media out there that talks about these issues and not seen as a tinfoil hat wearing kook who's been smoking wacky tobacco all damn day. You know, me personally, I don't give a damn what you want to smoke. That's your business. It's not my cup of tea, but I'm not going to tell you you can't do it. All I ask is you don't do it around me, you know,
right.
Which goes back to the fundamental principles. You got to keep the family unit together. You got to make sure you raise your kids the best that you can. You got to give them a quality education so they can think for themselves. Critical thinking is what a child should be taught, not indoctrination. This isn't 1930s Nazi Germany here. You know, we got
right.
little kids singing songs to Obama. It's unacceptable. So,
you're talking about the Obama youth?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, some of the stuff that happened as soon as he got elected, you could clearly see what was going on, and it's amazing. I talked to a lot of black people. They're so dumbfounded by this guy just because he's black. It's like, dude, and some of these stupid white girls I talked to, who are you going to vote for? I'm going to vote for Obama because he's black. That's the only reason why you're voting for the guy. You haven't heard anything he had to say. He's got a nice smile. So does the Joker.
Funny you mention that, my alter ego.
I mean,
he's
legend. I saw your picture, man. I thought that was pretty a mix between Two-Face and the Joker. That was pretty sweet.
No, it's the
Two-Face with a Superator.
No, the other half is really me.
But this is the type of stuff that's going on, and people don't start asking questions. I tell people all the time. I tell my buddy, I said, look, go to your school board meeting once in a while, B. I'm telling you, man, sit there and just sit and listen for a couple of times. You don't even have to opine. Just sit and listen, and you start hearing the BS that's going on. And you start going, hey, what's going on? Start keeping a little notepad, start writing stuff down, and then you get something that really fires your ass. When it comes time for public feedback, you get up to that microphone, you tell them what you feel. And you tell them what you're thinking about doing about it, and watch how fast they start to cringe, or they start circling the wagons real damn quick. Then you know you've touched on something. You know, a lot of these guys are not interactive with their children's stuff in school, and that's the problem. They're not asking questions. They're not looking at the books that are being sent home with the kids. They're not looking at the homework and the questions that they're being asked. You heard the story about, was it in Texas, the mother was raising hell about a 9/11 question. It was basically said, do you think that one of the reasons why 9/11 happened because of the fact that maybe our foreign policy sucks, in essence, what it says? And she was appalled by that. I'm like, really, ma'am? If you're asking countries, common sense. What do you think Reagan did all throughout the 80s? What do you think Iran-Contra was about? Interventionism. Until you start waking up on that stuff, you're never going to see what's going on. So that's what I tell you guys. You know, you got to start looking at what your kids are doing. Because if not, you're wasting your time. And then wonder why your kid doesn't graduate, doesn't have any high honors, doesn't know their ass from the hole in the ground. You'll understand clearly why. That is if you have any type of intelligence yourself. A lot of these kids are having kids. And they don't have a clue either when it comes time to get their stuff together, you know, because they're ignorant. They're brought up in a neo-communist system. I tell you, someone you should get interviewed on your program is Charlotte Isabey, man. I tell you what, I've learned more from watching a couple of her interviews with Jones and some of the other stuff she's done and started reading her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You could see the writing on the wall when you go through this book. And I've given it to a couple of my school board members and said, you've got to take the time to read this.
Charlotte who?
Charlotte Thompson Iserby. She was a former Undersecretary of Education under Reagan, I think, on his second term. Her father and grandfather were Skull and Bones. So she knows all about the Illuminati and the New World Order. So she was able to clearly see that the whole education system through the Department of Education was based on the Soviet model. And you start to see it clearly as time goes on. It's no different than Agenda 21 has crept into local governance. You're starting to see it in the education system. We're attacked from all fronts here. And I know you guys talk about it in your program. But we're attacked on all fronts. It's to overwhelm us. It's a firefight. And we're being ambushed in all different directions. It's almost like a scene from Predator, man. he's running around picking the bodies off and everybody's shooting blindly in directions because they don't know where the hell he's at. That's what's going on here.
I know where he's at. Well, I know where his shadow is.
His shadow government. I'll go look for his yellow eyes.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Austin.
Are you going to announce the news?
You mean Vegas?
Yeah.
I am going to actually fly out and meet Austin Thomas for the first time and meet Proof Negative, the owner of Freedomizer Radio, and meet some of the other hosts that are out there in the area as well. So this is going to be in about 10 days.
Oh, so bring your plastic and your money.
Well, I'm not a big gambler, so I might gamble a little bit, but yeah, that's I'm just kind of excited to meet you guys, and Proof wanted me to help him with a show on Tuesday, and then we were going to have like a dinner with all the, you know, Freedomists on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be fun. There's a lot of good shows and stuff out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually working on starting my own show on cable access, so I've been doing some – I used to do some vlogs just simply taking my camera phone and opining about topics, and I had it on my YouTube page. And then surprisingly, you know, what a shocker, my page got shut down by YouTube from a bogus claim. When I tried to find out who this individual was from Chicago, no less, couldn't find any hide or hair about the supposed attorney, because I actually had an email from the producer of one of the documentaries I had put on there to go ahead and use the content to put out. So I had a valid email from the actual producer to say, yeah, you can go put on cable access and play it all you want. And plus, I had taggers all throughout the video. So every so many minutes, the web address for the documentary series would pop up along with mine. So my Smyrna Tea Party address would show up for, like, let's say 5-10 minutes. And then the other guy's thing would show up, and it would be on there and everything else, you know. And that's kind of how you get around some of this stuff, is the fact that you giving the proper information to catalog who owns it, you know. So you're just showing it, and it's just larger media. But, I mean, the point is, it's like, dude, you know, I tried to find who this guy was to contest why my page got shut down, because I had it running for about 2-4 years, and a lot of content on there, and then I lost a lot of vlogs. I had to go back and try to pull some of the stuff out, because there for a while Facebook was having problems with uploading video. They wouldn't let you upload anything half the darn time.
Right. I remember that.
So now it's twice as hard to upload a video.
Hey,
it's nearly impossible to upload a video on Facebook.
Our other guest is actually on hold here. So I want to bring him in. This is Alexander Paulson.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, good day. Good day, folks. Sorry, I was on, but I didn't think I got a good connection. I've been trying and finally got back on again. So, thanks for the invite.
Oh, no problem. What's going on, Alexander? Happy to see you on board.
Yeah, always love the show. I missed a little bit of it. I'm not sure where you are in the discussions right now, but I figured we were going to talk about some GMO issues, so a little bit of a Tesla, that kind of thing. I'm prepared for all of that.
And you have a background. What's your job position again? You work in the nuclear industry, I think?
Well, I'm a nuclear engineer. I've been a graduate nuclear engineer since 1974. And I've worked all over the world in the nuclear industry. And I'm not currently in the nuclear industry. Actually, I run my own engineering firm right now. But I have a lot of insight and a lot of experience into areas that I've signed non-disclosures that I can't talk about specifically what I did and who I did it for, but I'm privy to some rather interesting information that I can't talk about as long as I'm very non-specific about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, please be non-specific.
We're all ears.
All right. Well, earlier when I was listening to you guys, you were talking about EMP. All
right.
And I think it's very interesting that everybody seems to talk about EMP in the context of a nuclear detonation in the high atmosphere, which will absolutely create EMP. But that's not the only way to do it. Our friends the Soviets have been experimenting with EMP generation strictly with electronics for several decades. And I happen to be one of the people that know that they have it working. And it's quite a dangerous weapon if used properly.
So do you mean like through everybody's cell phones and devices?
No, actually, in Siberia, the Soviets, and actually there's been photographs of this facility in Aviation Week, Space Technology, and James has been speculating about the purpose of this facility for quite a number of decades. But I was had a conversation with a fellow named Nick Cook about it, and we're pretty much convinced that it's a interference howitzer, which can project an electromagnetic or a magnetic, pure magnetic pulse pretty much anywhere in the world with no loss in between the transmitter and the area of the pulse.
Kind of like
the way they do this is with a they do it with scalar interference patterns. I don't know if you're familiar with this. With a scalar wave.
Lisa, who's that one always talking about scalar energy and scalar waves? Who's that guy?
That was you, Austin Thomas.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have to adjust my tin hat. It's my tinfoil hat's fitting nice and proper, Mr. Paulson.
Austin, you also talk about aliens and hollow Earth and reptilians and all kinds of weird stuff. So.
I won't get into areas I know about.
wait. Talk about that. Hold on, for the record, I let my guests talk about those things. I do not believe in reptilians. I do not believe in aliens. I do believe in Project Bluebeam on how they're going to be using the alien scare as a way of brainwashing or control. I do believe in that. So get the facts straight, girl.
Oh, I've got the facts straight, but I just thought I'd throw a little jab at you, so it worked.
Well, Austin, I'll give you the bad news. Your tinfoil hat won't save you.
Right. No.
Okay.
The
tinfoil hat is not a shield that could do it.
Well, explain kind of. I know you're an engineer and everything, but kind of. I hate to ask you to kind of dumb it down, but can you kind of dumb it down and explain to our listeners what EMP really is and how it works?
Okay. How it works. It's exactly what it sounds like when it says electromagnetic pulse. Electromagnetic energy is what we deal with every day. I mean, we deal with our cell phones, our radios, our computers put out electromagnetic energy. I mean, our bodies put out electromagnetic energy. But what an EMP is an extremely high amplitude pulse of magnetic flux. And essentially, if you know what an electromagnet is, everybody has done the electromagnet, where you get the battery and a nail and you coil wire around it, okay, and you basically create a magnetic field from electricity. Well, it works the other way, too. That's how generators work. All right, an electrical generator is essentially a backwards motor. All right, you have either an induced magnetic field, electromagnetic field, or a permanent magnet field, and you move a moving conductor inside that magnetic field, cutting the lines of flux, will generate electricity.
Right.
How an EMP pulse works is it's an extremely high amplitude, high frequency magnetic pulse, which anything metal will induce basically in an electrical current flow. So anything metal being a chip, computer chip, a coil, the coil that sparks your car, I mean, anything like that. And essentially, the electrical power surge is what destroys your electronics, not the magnetic pulse itself. The magnetic pulse induces the electric
power
energy pulse
right.
inside the. Yeah. Now, the way the Soviets are rumored to do it, using the term loosely, is they're using technology that Nikola Tesla developed as part of his work.
Oh,
yes.
Experiment.
Okay.
My
and
hero.
Essentially, you know what a scalar wave is? I guess, Austin, you're quite familiar with what a scalar wave
is.
Yeah. A scalar wave is something that I'm not sure the best way to dumb it down. I don't want to say the word dumb it down, but for a non-engineer, think of, I don't know, what's a good analogy? Right, here's a good analogy. You know how those sound masking headphones work? You know, those headphones that you can wear on the airplane that mask out the sound of the plane so you can listen to your iPod?
Yeah.
Right.
Bose makes them, Sony makes them, everybody knows it. The way they work is they essentially read the audio frequency coming into the headphones, and suppose you have, and basically it's a wave, it's a wave pattern. You know, you've all seen
right.
a sine wave pattern. Okay. What the headphones do is generate an equal and opposite wave pattern and feed it into the headphones. All right. And what happens is when suppose you have an amplitude of 1 going up and an amplitude of 1 going down, the vector sum of that is 0. So in
right.
theory, it will cancel out sound. All right. Well, you could do the same thing with an electromagnetic wave. All right. So what you do is if you could get electronics sophisticated enough to put out a frequency, two frequencies at the same time that are equal and opposite of amplitude, all right, your detected magnetic wave would be 0 in the atmosphere, all right, but you would essentially be bending space-time slightly to contain the energy. And all you have to do is change the phasing of those two signals, the positive and negative, to extract that energy. That's how Wardenclyffe worked. Okay? That's how
hey,
it was able to transmit
Alexander,
electricity wirelessly.
You need to check out my friend Jason Verbelli, the Real Verbs on YouTube. The guy is brilliant.
Okay.
You need to check out his YouTubes, and his name's Jason Verbelli. I mean, you think he's over the top on the friends list, but you definitely want to follow him because that's what he is big into this research. I think you two guys could collaborate and share some information and knowledge together. You guys would be like
no
peanut butter
and
jelly.
Have you ever heard of Colonel Tom Bearden?
Oh, he's big into Bearden.
Okay.
I've heard of Tom Bearden. Oh, yeah.
He's a personal friend.
That's a personal friend of yours, really?
Yeah, I work with Tom in a couple of jobs. One of the things I'm not at liberty to talk about before he retired.
Oh, I have mad props for Tom Bearden. He's very knowledgeable in scalar waves and scalar technology. That's a for sure.
Yes, yes indeed. But well, anyway, you know, getting back to the EMP pulse, it's possible to generate an electromagnetic pulse remotely by using an interference pattern between two scalar waves. What happens is you point the first scalar wave at your target, and then you bring in your second scalar wave, and at your target site, you bring them together. And as long
right.
as they're out of phase, the phase shift between the two waves will extract massive amounts of energy. And depending upon how you bias the amplifier, you can do all kinds of really strange effects. I mean, not just EMP, but, I mean, heat explosions, cold explosions. You can move energy from one location to another. It's truly mind-boggling, the possibilities of this. The only problem is it's very extremely hard to control.
Right. Hey Lisa,
right.
This
there
sounds
are stories.
Like some this sounds like some Unraveling the Matrix shit.
Yeah, it does.
Well, Soviet's been working very deep into this for a long time. And the only reason the Soviets haven't gone public with it is they're afraid of it. There was an accident in Siberia back in 63 or 64. I forget exactly when. It had to be 64. It was after Kennedy was killed, where they were experimenting with what they call the Tesla shield. And what the Tesla shield is, Austin, you're probably familiar with the Tesla shield. That was a technology that Tesla said he could put an impenetrable force field around any city and
right.
prevent it from being attacked. All right, well, the Russians, the Soviets experimented with this Tesla shield. And in the process of testing it, they had two jets overfly and try to bomb this area, this little phony village that they had made up for the purpose of the test. One plane and they didn't, and as typical Soviet fashion, they didn't tell the pilots exactly what was going on. So the pilots were dropping these bombs, and the bombs weren't hitting the ground. All right. One of the pilots dipped down too low, hit the shield, and caused a flashback back to the transmitter. All right. And the consequences of that were probably, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. It quick froze the base. What happened is upset the energy draw and drew the energy from the base that was transmitting the power, all right, and basically drew all the energy out of the area, electrical, magnetic, and thermal. So when the two pilots landed back on base, all they found was a bunch of Soviet popsicles.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
Wow.
Now, that is a story that very few people have heard, but I can guarantee there's people listening to this broadcast that have heard that and know the details probably to a greater extent. I know it.
Right. Well, this is like fascinating to me. I mean, I'm really into Scalar and Tom Bearden big time. You need to hook up with my friend Jason Verbelli. You really do. I mean, you guys would be two peas in a pod.
Well, send me his contact information, and we'll get together on that.
Excellent. I'll be happy to do that. But this, for the listeners, this technology is in the works and in use. And you know what? I see all these releases with your engineering background about all this nanotechnology. And to me, I'm wearing that tinfoil hat. When they release something, I immediately think, man, they already have this shit and it's in covert use.
Oh yeah,
there's been a lot of buzz about graphene and nanotechnology that's been on the loose and actually using it in a unique algorithm computing. I don't know how
the stuff
you
they've
are
been talking about
that.
Lately, the 3D stuff they've been talking about, the 3D printing.
Tell me
about that, Alex.
I'm getting ready to purchase one. I've been doing a little bit of research into it.
I've seen it in movies, but I haven't actually seen anything in person.
Yeah, actually, the technology has been around for probably about 10, 15 years. They used to call RP, or rapid prototyping. And the old way of doing it was they would use an ultraviolet laser and an ultraviolet-sensitive resin material. And what you could do is you would use your computer design software to design a part in layers. And then what the laser would do was draw the layers on top of this liquid pool of this material. And then when you hit it with the UV, the resin would harden. And then what would happen would be a little actuator underneath that would move the part slightly down, and then the laser would hit the second layer, and it would build the part over in a series of layers. Same thing. It's just almost the opposite of the 3D printing, because you're hardening material around it, and this part is falling down into this liquid material. When it's finished, you take it out, shake off the liquid resin, and then you have your part. I'd say that's been around for a while. That was very highly developed for a while, but it was also prohibitively expensive. The 3D printing is really just an offset of basically your inkjet printer. It works exactly the same way. And that technology, too, has been around probably 30 years.
So
The only thing new about it is the computer power backing it up, allowing you to make better and more intricate parts and a little bit of the technology of the materials that you can use. You can use stronger, better, more resilient material instead of a soft plastic, essentially. But the technology is nothing special. It's just been waiting for enough computer power to really make the parts viable for actual manufacture instead of just prototyping and fast fit.
They're doing 20-round AR-15 gun clips, fully functional.
Don't call them clips. They're magazines.
Magazines.
That's right.
My bad.
A clip is what Lisa uses in her hair. All right, a magazine is what you put ammunition into.
Lisa, you got some clips in your hair, Lisa?
Not typically, no, but I get a point.
Okay, well, my apologies.
Have you seen that mane? That's a little hard to hold back.
Yeah. I'll hold my hair down.
But by getting back to the Soviets, that episode in 64 scared them. It truly, truly frightened them because it was not something they expected. They didn't understand it. It took them about 10 years to really figure out what happened and why. And by that time, the politics in the Soviet Union had changed. They were less willing to spend money on that kind of thing. They were more into, you know, the conventional things. And also at that point, the Soviets discovered the secret of petroleum and felt that they could probably be better served developing petroleum resources.
Hmm.
So
well,
the technology is there, but the new Russian government has kind of still kept it under wraps. I think there's still enough of the old guard around to be deathly afraid of it.
Give it time.
Yeah, give it time, but right now the Soviets are too busy.
Soviets are too busy what?
Pumping oil.
Oh.
See, the Russians,
oh, yeah,
the back in the 50s, yeah, well, they discovered the secret of petroleum back in the 50s, and actually we all did. We know it in the United States too, but for political reasons, nobody wants to admit what the truth of petroleum supplies in this world is. It's been studied up and down, and the Soviets actually developed this theory called the Russian-Ukrainian Deep Earth Oil Gas Theory, and so far it's played out fairly lucratively for them.
So that whole oil peak thing, is that actually a real scenario, or is that just propaganda in which to control how much it ebbs and flows, and then they can use it as a tool against other countries?
Well, think about it. Would you want to be in charge, like if you were an oil company, would you want to be in charge of a resource that was as common as water and less expensive, or would you want to be in charge of a resource that everybody thinks is running out and thus bidding the price up to much, much higher levels because they think we're going to run out one day?
Sure.
All right, what would be your choice? All right.
Right.
Oil, if you look at peak oil has been predicted every year since the early 60s, all right? And every year since we've begun to use oil in a great quantity, known reserves have increased every single year. And the only way
right.
they can push the peak oil propaganda is to say, well, we haven't discovered as much oil this year as we had last year. So, well, yes, because number one is you're not looking for it, all right? Number two, because you don't need it, all right? So they always term peak oil as new discoveries. But in reality, if you look at known reserves, every year they've gotten higher, and every year they will continue to get higher because of what the Russians discovered about oil and gas. And one is it's not dead dinosaurs. Oil and gas is generated in the deep earth constantly. And the more we pump, the more it makes. Oil is essentially carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, all the things that are in tremendous abundance in the earth. The way you make oil is to put those said ingredients under tremendous heat and pressure, and you make petroleum. All right? The dead dinosaur theory, I mean, how are you going to reconcile a dead dinosaur theory with oil being pumped from wells 7 miles deep?
Right.
You know, bored into solid granite. All right, this doesn't work. Besides, how many trillion barrels of oil that we know is out there? Oh, just exactly how many dinosaurs were there? All right. Chemically, the theory makes no sense, the dead dinosaur theory, because nobody has yet, and you can look this up, all right? I'll pay you $100 if I'm wrong. no one yet has come up with a chemical reduction to describe how oil is created from organic material, i.e. dead dinosaurs and old rotting cabbages from the Cretaceous period. All right? Nobody has done that. It's all theoretical. The Russians have come up with exactly the method, and even the Germans used it during World War II. Their synthetic oil and gas use the same ingredients under the same conditions that are found in deep earth. And what happens is this stuff is generated in the deep earth, and essentially as more is generated, the pressure differential between what's in the oil and what's in the outside of the earth equalizes and it stops making it. As you pump more out, the pressure inside the oil goes down, all right, thereby allowing your osmotic flow of the materials into the high pressure and high temperature regions. It fills
right.
the oil wells back up, and then it stops. It's an amazing process, and it can be seen
Alexander,
all over the world.
Hey, Alexander, you sure that's not the people in the hollow Middle Earth that are making this oil?
I'm pretty sure
you're
not.
Such a hobbit.
on that note, I have to take us to commercial break.
Go for it.
So if you guys don't mind, let's hang tight for about 5 minutes, okay?
Go for it.
Stand for.
All right.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer. For as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solavay.com/Freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/Freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solavay.com/Freedomizer.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils. Botanical organic additives, the best steam expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Bellas and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We never let them know that your world government has been identified, and they thought they just cleared the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
We're back.
All right. I'm having fun on Guerrilla Radio. I don't know how many other people are, but I love scalar waves and scalar technology. Thanks, Alex.
It's interesting stuff. I mean, we talk about that all night, but I think we're still talking about the oil. And essentially, the Soviets have known this for a long time, and they've actually made it work for them. Because if you look at if you look at where we're finding oil now, I mean, we're finding it, I mean, from ultra-deep wells under the ocean in places that have never, ever been above water, all right? Very, very deep. Wells that are 4, 5, 6, 7 miles deep. I mean, this dead dinosaur theory just doesn't work. I mean,
right.
Even look at the Middle East. In the past 20 years, the known reserves in the Middle East have doubled, all right, doubled. And that's with record pumping for 20 years and almost no new discoveries. I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, right now, what do they think is in the Middle East now? Well, a trillion barrels of untapped still there? A trillion still under there? After how many decades of nonstop drilling? I mean, just how many dead dinosaurs were there? Not that many.
There's a lot of other evidence. Oil is a tool used in 71. Well, actually, when Nixon took us off the gold standard and made the pact with the Saudis, sold us down the world to OPEC, these untapped, unending supply of oil is really what backs the fiat dollar. The dollar is the petrodollar. And they can't let the cat out of the bag that oil isn't in short supply, that there's plenty of oil?
It only works if you think oil is scarce, all right? Once you know oil is not scarce, and nobody will admit it, even the Soviets, they know it's not scarce. I mean, all their oil wells through Siberia is 5 to 7 miles straight down through solid granite, and they're, I mean, in the Soviets and the Saudis, I mean, they're almost fairly even in oil production these days, all right? They know damn well where it came from, all right? But they don't want to admit it either. They don't want to upset the apple cart. All right, but oil is everywhere.
That's what you have the petrodollar based on, which is the dollar is economic trade worldwide, and we can't let the cat out of the bag that, like you said, I mean, what would that do to the economy if right now you knew that oil was an unlimited supply, it's all a farce, and it's all a bunch of nonsense. There's plenty of oil. What would you know? How could these big oil make their money and keep control?
And that's it. If we had a real, actual free economy, I mean, the realization that oil was unlimited would be a boon to our economy. I mean, just think of unlimited cheap energy. All right. Now, personally, I think burning oil is not really the right thing to do long term. Think of it. It's really pretty primitive. It's crude. It's dirty. It's nasty. You don't want to get it in your hair. Okay. It smells bad. I mean, the fumes are nasty. I mean, we should be past that right now. All right. And however, there's just too much money in the oil business. First of all, they want you to think it's scarce, and they want you to think there are no viable alternatives. I mean, you look at the solar business. Oh my gosh, your best solar panels take 7 to 10 years to pay off the energy that it takes to manufacture them. All right, I mean, it's a scam. Yeah. Same way with the wind power. All right, I mean, there's so much free energy out there, zero point energy, gravitational energy. They're just there to be tapped. All you do really need is just a frequency generator tuned to the right frequency, and you can tap all the energy you want out of the atmosphere. That's what Tesla did. All
right,
right. He made
it
work.
Yeah,
this goes back
to the tower that Tesla was building. And who was that? Westinghouse says no way.
No, because Westinghouse was fine with it. It was J.P. Morgan. He was the money guy behind that.
Right.
Right. When
exactly.
he found out that Tesla was coming up with free energy that could be transmitted wirelessly to anybody, he couldn't figure out a way to meter it. He says, I can't make any money off of this. So he shut the whole thing down.
Again,
so that was
again,
Morgan,
always,
not Westinghouse.
It's always these gangster banksters. Always.
Well, yeah, that's what happened. Look up a guy named Henry Moray. Moray, like the eel. All right. Moray was a guy that worked with some of Tesla's technology, and he came up with a device that sat on a tabletop, about the size of a tabletop radio at the time. And it was probably a foot long, 8 inches high, and maybe 6 inches deep. All right. This thing sat on a table and put out 50 kilowatts of energy. It just put it out. All right. It didn't get hot. In fact, it ran cool. All right, and it would put out 50 kilowatts of energy for as long as you left it turned on with
wow.
nothing attached to it, no wires, no batteries, nothing. All right. Henry Moray did a presentation to a bunch of engineers from MIT. All right. They came out to Utah, showed his lab. All right. They examined the machine. They examined the test conditions. They verified that this thing just sat there and just pumped out 50 kilowatts of energy day in, day out, forever and ever, and ran cold. And what it is, he had to build it. It's a specially built unit, all right? So Henry Moray was really happy. The MIT engineers loved it. Okay, the weekend after that, his lab was broken into, everything was stolen, destroyed, and burned down.
Right. Well,
he was shut down.
I mean, that's par for the course. I mean, that goes back to General Motors back in the day, bought an engine from Volkswagen that at the time was it like 80 to 100 miles per gallon? I mean, you know, we can't have
They can do that today. They can do that today if they want to. This hybrid thing is a big scam, all right? I mean, I actually find those hybrid cars, I don't mean to insult anybody, but I find them quite offensive because I'm aware that every one of those hybrid cars is personally responsible for 4.5 acres of clear-cut rainforest for the lithium mines. And I find that quite offensive. I happen to like rainforest.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We got about $1 trillion worth of lithium. We still got to scam out of Afghanistan, along with 90% of our opium
exactly.
production. Don't worry
about
it.
How
about
that?
No biggie.
What a surprise, huh?
Yeah, what a surprise.
So the oil thing is a scam. The Russians know it's a scam, but the Russians are making too much money and they have too much invested in the scam. So they're going to play along as long as they can. You know, same way with everybody else. And right now, you know, the Saudis are propping up the U.S. dollar with the petrodollar deal, but that can't last. All right?
Right.
That cannot last. The system's unsustainable. I mean, anybody with half a brain that looks at it knows the system is not going to last. You're already seeing the death rumblings of the whole thing. And believe me, folks, it's going to be ugly. You know, the only bright spot on the horizon is if you could see the technology that the United States government has hidden, secret, black, locked down, black, your mind will be blown, all right? That makes Star Trek look primitive.
Right.
All right?
The United States has
anti-gravity. We have anti-gravity. The U.S. has anti-gravity technology. It works.
We have a lot of it. We have a lot of technology. I know we went back. I'm going back to EMP. I mean, the Air Force and Boeing have been working hand-in-hand with this EMP technology for how many decades now? At least two?
Oh, more than that. More than that. bring it back. This goes back to the 70s.
Right. But I did a show on that, and I got my hands on some docs. It was a joint paper from Boeing and the Air Force talking about how to use EMP as a weapon. It was an outline for research. And this was like 1991, and this was blowing my mind reading this. And just think how far they've come since then.
Yeah, well, anti-gravity technology has been around since shortly after World War II. It was based on the research of a fellow named T. Townsend Brown, and he is the Brown and the Biffle Brown effect, and it's a known effect of high voltage capacitors neutralizing gravity. All right, and you're familiar with the stealth bomber. You know what the stealth bomber is, right? Funny thing about the stealth bomber, the engines in the stealth bomber are not powerful enough to allow the stealth bomber to take off. All right. But the stealth bomber has a little switch that electrifies the upper and lower skins to an extremely high voltage at several million volts. And that reduces the weight of the stealth bomber to where its engines can allow it to take off.
Wow.
And I can't take credit for that research. That was done by a fellow named Nick Cook. Nick Cook is the editor of Jane's Defense Weekly. He's the aviation editor. And he did tremendous research for a book called The Hunt for Zero Point, which I highly recommend to everybody. It's not a very technical book, but it's extremely well written. And he talks about his research and his finding and proving that the U.S. government has very sophisticated anti-gravity technology. And this guy's not a crank. This guy's from Jane's, all right? You can't get much more mainstream than Jane's.
Right.
And this is the discoveries that he made. I mean, it's there. I mean, but why isn't it in the general public? Why don't we have it? Why don't we have these technologies that give us free energy? Why don't we have these technologies that could revolutionize air travel or even land travel? All right.
Well, the reason being the same thing with the way they're suppressing cold fusion energy.
Oh, don't even get me started.
It's not a commodity you can tax. That's why.
Right. That's it. If there's no way, like back in the day, like J.P. Morgan says, if there's no way to put a meter on it and charge people for it and keep them under control and under lock and key with it, then it's not going to be. I mean, you're more hands-on than me. I mean, I'm just a layman in the field, but I see so many ways. I see free energy, Tesla free energy being suppressed. I see this cold fusion being suppressed. I see the things you're talking about too, the big scam on we're running out of oil, out of energy, and we're not. It's so far from the truth, it makes me angry. We have so many.
I got a big scam for you. I got a big scam for you. How about the guy down in Texas that's actually taking fresh water,
keeping control of it, and they, obviously they're selling, they've been doing it for, what, the last 15 years, selling it to us through bottled water. Not to mention that the bottles that they make, I actually worked for a company here in Dayton for a short time that actually made these, who are Agenda 21 compliant, mind you, okay, but they, the BMP or whatever, they're using in the plastic, and plus they're selling all water back to us, which should automatically be free for everyone to have. Now, granted,
right,
taking salt water and trying to distill it into drinkable water is an expensive process and a real pain in the ass. I understand that. But in the process of them dumping waste, plus you got the whole Fukushima accident that no one's talking about. I mean, you got milk
right
here in Cincinnati that's been tainted by this radiation. But nobody talks about it.
Well,
posted on a Facebook page on a radio channel in the area, i.e. KRC, all of a sudden mysteriously
it was,
the amount of
the same
disappears.
Thing that I posted. It was on the beaches in California, all these radioactive waste and buckyballs washing up on shore. Nothing.
So, I mean, there's a whole commodity in fresh water to try to sell back to us. That should already, and that could be a natural human right to begin with.
Well, water is tremendously big business. And I, if you want to hear a personal story, a personal business story, is, you know, I have my own company, but I also have some financial interest in other companies. And one of the companies, I guess I could say his name, you can look him up, it's called Aquavast. And it's a fellow I know, has developed an inexpensive water filter that he manufactures them himself. And they're small units, all right? We actually have three units. One unit makes 5 gallons a minute, and it's the size of an aircraft carry-on suitcase. And it'll make 5 gallons a minute of fresh drinkable water from just about anything you can pump into one side of it, all right? We tested it in our neighborhood, these drainage ponds that they put around and they laughingly call lakes that are green and smelly. All right, we threw
right
the one side in, and what came out was perfectly pure drinkable water because we had it tested. We sent it to the University of Texas. They were so amazed with it, they threw the inlet pipe in their raw sewage settling tank of the university. And this thing put out 5 gallons a minute of perfectly potable, drinkable, perfect water. All right? For a little device that he would retail for about $600.
Wait a second. What's this? So this device... it runs on electricity, I'm assuming, right?
Actually, no, it doesn't. The only electricity we use it for is just to open the valves. It's a little sensitive to how the valves are controlled. You have to open and close them in a particular sequence. And there's several filter banks, and we usually have one in a regeneration cycle. And the only electricity we use is just to operate the valves. But you can do it. The first prototype you built had hand valves.
How large is this unit?
Well, we have three units in operation. One is a small unit. Say it's a you could carry it on an aircraft and stick it in the overhead bin, and it'll make between 2 and 5 gallons a minute. We have one 20-gallon a minute unit that would fit in the trunk of a car, and then we have a 100-gallon a minute unit that was designed specifically to fit in the back of a Humvee pickup truck. Because John's original idea was to get the military interested in this, and we did. In fact, we got them interested in it big time. And we had the opportunity after the big hurricane hit Haiti, and
right,
the people were dying for lack of water. We had the U.S. Navy and several NGOs out there trying to provide fresh water to the people in Haiti. All right. John has a meeting with the Navy and says, hey, we have this unit. All right. It makes 100 GPM. And think about 100 gallons a minute. That's a lot of water, all right? Even 5 gallons a minute over a period of a day, that's a bunch of water. That's enough for a small village, all right, and something that you can carry onto an aircraft and stick it in the overhead bin, all right? The 100-gallon a minute, you think about 100 gallons a minute, 24/7. The same will just make water all day long, all day night, all
right,
night, expending virtually no electricity other than whatever it takes to hold these solenoid valves up. All right, so we showed it to the Navy. We showed it to the Air Force. And the Navy went, bug shit, all right? They wanted this thing bad. Our competition was GE, your friendly folks, Better Living,
oh, yes,
whatever the hell they call it, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right? Well, GE is big into water now. but the only system they have is a reverse osmosis system, and it's about the size of a tractor trailer unit that'll put out like 25 GPI, and it's just ridiculous. And they want like $3 million for the thing versus $130,000 for ours. So John's going back and forth, talking to the Navy, talking to the Air Force, all right, and they're saying, hey, you know, we want these things, we're going to buy them. Well, why? They're the best things in the world. And then a funny thing happened. The rear admiral that was doing the negotiations with us all of a sudden decided it was just a fine and dandy time to retire and take a job with, guess who?
GE.
GE, yeah. But before he left, he decided that GE's technology was the one for the Navy.
Yeah, they
this back-scratching corruption firsthand. So we haven't given up
Monsanto revolving door
on the government. It's hopelessly corrupt. Yeah, the government's hopelessly corrupt. So actually, John's down in Haiti right now, and we've sold about a dozen of these things to various NGOs. And they're using them, and they're working, and they're working great, and they don't cost a lot of money. As long as John doesn't get in any small planes, he'll be all right.
Mr. Paulson, I mean, if you've got something that's, you know, that's 1/30th of the cost of GE's and five times as efficient, I mean, you don't think you stand a snowball's chance in hell of getting that contract
because we can't afford to be hiring retired admirals for, you know, $500,000 a year. We don't have that kind of money.
I'm sorry, I'm making light of it, but it really sucks for you because like you got a thing that costs what 1/20th of what they do, and the production is what 4, 5, 6 times as efficient.
Oh, it's better. It's better than an RO unit. I mean, this unit is so good, it gets out viruses, bacteria, and even cryptosporin. And we tested that. And there's a few lakes here in Florida that have cryptosporin infestations that reverse osmosis unit will not extract, but this unit will. You take one of these units and stick it in one of these lakes and just pump it on a recirculation, we'll clean up one of these lakes probably in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
What about the fluoride?
The only little problem it has with salt, it doesn't desalinate very well, but we solved that issue by putting basically a salt chlorine generator on the front using a titanium electrode. Now, what happens is when the salt water comes in, we flash it to chloride and gas it off.
Nice.
So that's interesting, so you're saying this
unit takes out the fluoride? Because fluoride's a buzzer to get out.
Yep, takes out the fluoride, takes out everything. The nice thing is it's sanitary water. I mean, like, for this is why we look at Haiti as a great opportunity, because fresh water after the hurricane was a major, major problem. People were getting sick, they were getting dysentery, basically from contaminated water. So our technology could go in there and provide a small village with enough drinking water to basically keep everybody alive for, you know, very, very little money. So right now we're in the business of pushing it to basically private charities who don't have a lot of money to buy a big fancy GE unit. So that's kind of where we are with it. We're hoping it'll take off, but there's a lot of power kind of aimed against us here.
Well, of course. You got these big business crooks that want to stomp you at every level. I think it's awesome what you're doing. I mean, you're awake, but you're actually providing like Lisa and I talk about, you're providing a solution for these people. But isn't it so sick and twisted that just for every one of their units, they could have bought 20 of yours?
Yes. It hasn't escaped me, and it has bothered both of us. And, you know, you just hit your head up against the wall and say, okay, well, we'll just move on and do what we need to do. You know, we'll make it work another way.
Wow. That's just my vote. So they could buy 20 of your units, which are five times as effective. So for the same money,
they could
get 100-fold.
Yeah, and for a military, if you think about, you know your average grunt, who's, and believe me, I've been an average grunt. All right, I grunted through the jungles of Vietnam. I know what it's like to, you know, kind of wonder, should I drink this slimy looking stuff in the rice paddy, or should I just go thirsty and possibly pass out? I mean, grunts are always looking for water. You know, it's water is one of the main things that you have to, you know, provide your soldiers in the field. I mean, you can live a week without food, no problem. You can live 2 weeks without food, but try living 2-3 days without water, it's not happening.
Well, no.
So,
I mean,
if you think about
number one is oxygen, and number two is water.
Yeah, so we design a unit that, yes, you have a Humvee pickup. You can put this unit in the back of the Humvee pickup and make 100 GPM for your soldiers, 100 gallons a minute, 24/7.
Wow.
Do the math for a day. That's a lot of water. That will supply a lot of people with water, you know.
So, Alex, let me ask you this.
Nope.
What about those condensation units that they have where essentially, like I see, they're sold in Alex Jones' store in InfoWars, where essentially it's like they take the condensation of the moisture out of the air and basically turn it into drinkable water. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Oh, they work. They just require a fair amount of energy. That's the thing. Essentially, they're a cooling unit, and they just cool the air below the dew point and collect the condensation on the coils. I mean,
yes, they work, but you also need air.
Yeah. And also depends on your relative humidity. Something like that might work well in Florida. Well, it probably wouldn't work so well in Nevada, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lisa, you still with us?
Yeah, I put my phone on mute because my dog is barking.
I'm listening.
It's really interesting. I love it.
I know. I was going to say, that's. I'm like, she's awfully quiet over there. What the hell's going on over there?
Yeah,
I just
got a dog going ballistic, so.
But we're committed to making this thing happen. If we have to do it overseas, we'll do it overseas, all right? I even suggested, well, it's kind of funny. You know, United States, you always think United States is the bastion of freedom, free enterprise, you know, innovation, that kind of thing. What a load of hooey. I can go to a place like the Philippines and Thailand or any kind of business I want. I mean, I don't have to ask for permission for anybody. I mean, if I've got the money to do it, I can do whatever I want as long as I don't hurt anybody. Nobody's going to try to shut me down. There are no politicians going to come down looking for their share. Well, they will, but they look for a lot smaller share over there.
Right.
Be careful, Alex. They wind up like David Carradine. Wind up in a closet in Thailand somewhere.
Oh,
is he?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't
had his demise.
You know, like
they found him
hogtied
and hanging from a coat hanger or a clothes hanger in a closet in Thailand somewhere.
Oh,
yeah. Well, Thailand's pretty nice. I like Thailand, but I kind of enjoy the Philippines too. So.
So you like that lumpia and adobe, huh?
Lumpia, and yeah, adobo and lumpia.
Oh yeah.
Hey, Austin, we've got 5 minutes left, so I was thinking we could give our guests a moment to pitch whatever they're doing if they want to have a little bit of airtime for that.
Absolutely.
So,
okay, well,
Alexander, is there any websites or any contact information that you want to put out there?
Well, if anybody's interested in the water filters, it's a company called Aquavast, AQUAVAST, all right, aqua-vast.com. It's not a lot of specific information on it because we've been more trying to put the water filters together than really go out marketing ourselves. And our plan is to start small. I mean, get the water filters, get the water to essential areas, and use the income to expand into other areas. And say it's slow going. There's probably not a lot of public interest yet because we're really not at the point where we can provide a lot of these units. So, but we're hoping in the next 2 or 3 years we'll get something going pretty good on this.
All right. And one more time, what's the website?
Aquavast. AQUA-VAST. Aquavast.com. I think that's it.
All right.
I haven't been on it myself in a while.
And Ross, Mr. Thomas, what do you want to plug again?
One of the things I've been we've got several documentaries and stuff that's showing on Time Warner Digital Channel 991, which covers the entire southwest Ohio area, from the Ohio River, the Indiana border, up to Springfield, Ohio. So if anyone has Time Warner Digital 991, they can watch it. We got Alex Jones's 9/11 Road to Tyranny is getting ready to debut beginning of April, about another week or so. And then one of the bands that I work with, Animal Grace, they just finished running a show that I'd shot last year called Rift and Loaded. That's on there. You go to animalgrace.com. And another band that I'm just put out an interview on, debuts, I think, on the 18th, brothersinarmsband.com. And the show that I shot with them back in February is getting ready to debut probably around June. And we've got programs from the John Birch Society, A Case for Blocking the North American Union, as well as Exposing Terrorism Inside the Terror Triangle. Those are debuting in April and May, respectively. And so you can go to springboroughteaparty.com, go to the events section, and you can find all the programs and the time listings. And you can also go to my personal website, sunnythomas.com, thehmd.com for all the music stuff, and also to Council of Conservative Citizens of Ohio, which is COFCCOhio.org. So, and you can find respective Twitter handles on those websites.
Cool. You're definitely both of you guys. I mean, we want to keep you in the guerrilla radio fold, and you, Mr. Paulson, I need to get you on Unraveling the Matrix. We're going to go into some scalar energy. We're going to play a little physics, seeing how well versed you are.
Okay.
Maybe I could get you and my friend Jason Burbelli on. That would be a really cool show.
That sounds
like
fun.
Would you tune in, Lisa?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, would you tune in?
Oh, on Saturday? This Saturday, I am going to a Liberty on the Rocks meeting.
No,
I'm not
saying for this Saturday. I'm just saying, would you tune in for that show? Oh, you're going to what? Wait.
Oh, yeah,
what?
Absolutely. I love hearing Alexander speak. He's brilliant.
He is brilliant. And what you got going on Saturday?
I'm doing a Liberty meeting. It's just, you know, some Ron Paul people, some people who are in militia, some people who are, you know, whatever, just Liberty people.
She's exercising her right to freedom of assembly.
That is correct. I'm going to go there and hobnob with the freedomists.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Nice. And,
no,
that
sounds like fun. I've got some important motorcycle riding to do in the daytime, but we can get together.
You guys 30 seconds. So, Austin, do you want to talk about your show at all on Saturday, or...?
No, I'm just going to throw the deuces out and thank our guests. It was awesome talking to you guys. And we're going to get you back around the horn. We're going to be in touch again.
Yeah,
Brad,
thank you so much, Sonny. Thank you, Alexander. You guys were awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, enjoyed
thanks
it a lot.
Listeners. Well, thanks to the listeners.
Deuces.
Deuces.
The HMD.com. That's THEHMD.com.